Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this week. This is going to be an uncontrollable episode of We Are Libertarians. I don't know what I was thinking, but I invited all of the brutalists in Indiana on the podcast. And I've never been more excited to start a podcast in my entire life, making sure we're recording. Because
is there an SD card in there?
There's an SD card. It is recording.
Great success.
We learned a lot from Bob and Tom this week.
I know. I've been running the board of Bob and Tom, and I have quite the story to tell after I introduce everyone. First, Greg Lenz, how are you?
Doing well, Chris. How are you?
The uncontrollable Greg Lenz, out of control on Facebook with the Hitler memes.
I'm trying to inspire people, and you keep ending it. Like, you will not let it, for whatever reason, spread. I don't know why it doesn't get likes and shares. I mean, they're beautiful memes. They're inspirational quotes.
I love quotes. Quotes are my favorite.
Yes.
And I love sharing quotes. And so Greg likes to take the same inspirational quotes and then put them over photos of Hitler.
That look beautiful with, like, you know, a pink overlay or something like that.
So if you look up Chris Spangle on Facebook, you can scroll through my feed. Most of it's public, and you can see some of Greg's handiwork. Aaron Ewert, how are you?
Oh, very well.
Oh, good. Talk louder into the microphone for me.
Very well. Went on a lunch date with Dear Later today.
You did. Yep. We had lunch.
It was great.
We were talking to waitresses. Well, I was.
You were. Yeah, I was wingman.
You were. You were literally wingman. You were helping me eat the garlic.
Yeah, spicy garlic wings while playing wingman.
That's right. What can I say? Waitresses love me. Tyler Weiss? How do you say it?
You can say it however you want, but it's
all right.
Weiss.
Tyler Weiss, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well tonight.
Good. And then making a return appearance way too many times and way too short of a span, James Neese.
I've got shit going on, son. Like, I will ride on here every Thursday, dude, because, like, what is it? Go home or, like, come here and check out that sexy-ass body, bro?
So...
Which body are we referring to?
Mine.
Spangle, he shed a couple of pounds, dog, so he's definitely hitting that, like, six range.
Greg.
Spelt.
Hitting it six Spelt. Out of ten.
First, use that coaster for me.
Yep.
Because your can hits the table and it's noisy. Now, what is the number one rule on podcast night? What do I always say, especially to Harry?
Don't be early.
Get the door.
Jinx. No.
I love Ewert.
We say 7 p.m., do not be early because you might see me naked. Well, guess what happened?
Boom, baby.
So it's 6:20. I had carried in some groceries and had gone shopping this afternoon, carried in a bunch of stuff, forgot to shut my door and lock it like normal. And I'm just hanging out. I got some Jay-Z. I think it was Big Pimpin' playing. I'm cleaning the bathroom, folding some towels. And I hear my door shut. And I go, well, that's awkward.
It's a Negro.
Okay.
What?
What? You can't say that, James.
Did he say a Negro?
Everybody had a drink of beer in their mouth and then almost did a spit take.
Yeah.
So, like a true alpha, I don't go, who is it? I hulk up. I put a washcloth over my balls. And walk out straight up, square James up. Here comes sauntering in with his 44 ounce up to his lips. He's just sucking on down and down his drink. And he goes, oh, Jesus Christ, dog. I go, James, what the fuck are you doing here? I'm naked. And he goes, I can see that. Are we doing a podcast tonight? And I go back into the bathroom. I go, yeah, but in 40 minutes. Go away.
That's how I roll, baby. Did you have to leave?
Mic.
What?
Did you leave?
No.
No, I just sat down. I was like, what?
No, he sits down at the end of the table. So I
put clothes on, hopefully.
No, I didn't put clothes on. I shut the door. I continued to be naked. I took a number two, and then I took a shower because that was my plan. And just because James is in my house, I'm not getting off script. We're rolling right through. I needed a shower and a deuce.
So it really wasn't that weird. Like, I was under the impression you just, when you put your groceries away and, like, organize them as they're so... excellently organized, right. And put into nice grain containers.
I am fastidious.
I just thought maybe you did that in the nude. Like, that was just routine.
Most
but you
of
were
going to
shower.
But I was going to shower. Yeah, that's why I was naked. And so I take my shower and I cover up the towel because I just assume James hasn't left. I don't know. And so I put the towel over my nude body. and I saunter into the bedroom, and I look over, and James is sitting at the end of my table reading the Bible.
Brutalist overlord.
Seeing me naked converted him into...
I had to consult the Old Testament to what I do in this situation, and technically I should like shave his head and shame him, but yeah. You know, it's just...
You could probably get away with stoning.
Yeah, yeah. Like sodomites, obviously not in this house. I mean,
I'm just saying, there's one rule on podcast night. Don't be early, and you've now violated it twice, and you've seen me nude. Well, you didn't see everything. I had this little washcloth.
It was probably like that bubbling they do online.
No, there was no bubbling. He saw everything.
I mean, why did you washcloth, though, dog? If you're going to alpha it up, just let them see your junk.
That's true. Like... I just assume, well, maybe there's somebody here, but I was ready to drop the washcloth and throw down. I was going to fight. I'm not...
That's actually kind of brilliant, to fight in the nude.
Oh, God.
If someone's breaking
because
in.
Because you should have seen his face. James, who was shocked by nothing, and he was like, ugh! I silenced James' knees.
You rustled him.
I did. I rustled him.
You rustled the brutalist overlord.
I rustled. I have maintained my alphaness
because
over the brutalist
overlord. I now know what it's like to be a feminist and know that, you know, a microaggression or rape kind of impacted me, dog. So definitely I'm a feminist now because I was definitely raped.
It was I raped.
Raped. I mean, like,
it's
I'm
that
taking
new
this
six pack.
But I was like a ninja. I just turned around the corner and I had on my left hand, I had the washcloth and in my right hand cocked and ready to go. Standing there, I squared him up, and he's like, oh, shit, dog.
Got raped, man. Getting a mattress, carrying it everywhere I go now, dude.
Yeah.
Man, that's a shame.
Just carry that washcloth with you everywhere.
Gird your loins.
Also, I folded the washcloth and hung it back up, so.
Damn it.
Ball roulette.
I've seen your bathroom, too. What is with... I thought that thing on the floor was like a bidet, but it's apparently your cat's dish.
Please tell me you did not use my cat's water dish.
Oh, my.
I thought it was a toe wash.
It's not a toe wash.
Every Christian has a foot washer.
Yeah. I didn't.
Have you been even in his bathroom?
I've been in there.
It's really girly, right? You've seen that, like, deodorant? That is not a man... Where is the old... I need Old Spice.
Sure. And then Mitchum is right next to it.
It's just like it's a pastel palette of colors.
It
he
is does, not
he doesn't
pastel.
Do like you know
it's
matte,
black
like
and
green,
white
hunter green or like yeah. you know, masculine
like,
red
that like copper tone like speed stick where it's like yeah you smell like a man motherfucker yeah. It's like yeah. You don't smell like no bitch. Like,
I smell like nothing.
Smell
here.
I think Bernie Sanders would be offended by the amount of different kinds of deodorant you have.
I agree too. That's white privilege at its finest.
Everybody smells like a bitch under the burn. Talcum baby powder.
I don't have a girly. I just have a clean bathroom. I like black and white and just things very. I don't know if sterile is the right word, but
yeah.
Simple.
Sterile.
Simple. Everything in my apartment is sterile.
You're going to disinfect your whole house after this podcast.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah. So I didn't clean the toilet very well because you guys.
Yeah. You people.
So what else is...
I smoke and drink in the bathroom. I ain't going to lie to you.
It's like high school.
Like, I'll go in there, like, put in the shower, and I'll just be like, all right, I'm going to smoke a cigarette, like, drink beer right now. It's like, I don't give a shit. It's my bathroom. It's pretty thuggalicious. It's like, you know, I can do whatever I want in there. It's like, turn the fan on, open the window. It's like, huh, whatever. People are like, I can smell your smoke. I can smell your bitch. Like, you going to come up here, dude?
Do you put the towel underneath the, right underneath the crease under the door?
No, nah, dude, I was fucking all the way open. I'm like, fucking make this house smell like a man. It's like Doral.
I like that a man smells like Doral cigarettes and what? Coors? Michelob?
Oh, man. I drink High Life, champagne and beers. Champagne and me getting drunk. Like 30 of those, dude. It's like shotgunning. Like, I'm like 30 years old almost, and I still shotgun over my sink. It's like, you know, I want to get drunk. Boom. I quit the key.
Hell yeah.
Now, is this when you're watching your child?
Sometimes it's like, hey, I throw on like baby first. It's like, hey, look, it's the Fox show. Watch me shotgun these keystones, bro.
Now
learn a life skill.
And for the court records, that was a joke. This is an entertainment program. I'm helping you.
It's PBS.
Right, I know.
Brought to you by Carl Sagan Foundation of
now
Interplanetary
is,
Science.
Is it a boy or a girl?
It's a girl.
All right, you got a girl. All right, okay. How old is she?
Like one? Like like one?
Could you give me a guess?
Has she turned two yet?
No, not yet.
Okay, then she's one.
She's one.
Wow.
Do you know her name?
Yeah, it's Tara.
Tara? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
I wanted it to be like something. If my name was like a G, I was going to put Nisa's last name so it's TNG so I can be like the next generation. Like, you know, like trekking it up.
That is amazing.
Man, Picard's my hero, dog. Like, I watch that on like BBC sometimes. Like Picard's always like, you know, like, oh, ship's getting invaded, and like everybody else is like, oh my god, we're gonna die. Picard's like, whatever, dog. I'm gonna blow this fucking vessel up. Like, talk to me in my quarters. And I'm always like, man, just bang Crusher, dude. Just bang the shit out of that nurse.
She's a doctor.
She is a nurse. Yeah. What medical degree does she have? Starfleet? That's not even a real place, dude. It's like DeVry. The DeVry of the universe. Not even Romulan, like, you know.
It's the vocational nursing degree of degrees.
It's a for-profit.
Because she's like, I'm a doctor. I never seen her do surgery. I see her scan people. Okay, you're a nurse. You're doing EKGs. Like, wow, cool. I do that now.
And you then, basically work for TSA.
Then you got that fucking...
Yeah, the tech does
that. That data robot. That data robot. It's like, whoa, what? Calm down, Aspie. Like, you're getting a little...
Oh, gosh.
Wow. Man, it's just a weird
show. Is it Data? Is that his name?
Yeah, Data.
Data, yeah.
Yeah, and they got the holodeck, and they always have the holodeck with some stupid shit. Like, let's do a Sherlock Holmes, like, you know, holodeck thing. It's like, dude, I would be like the Lovenasium. It's like, when people come in the holodeck, I'm like, we got like three titty bitches over here, dude. Like, you like that Fifth Element shit? Like,
oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Chick with the orange hair, right?
That's how I do it, you know? But all these people are like, I need a Sherlock Holmes or like some Harry Potter shit. It's like...
Wasting your...
I'm a wizard. It's like three titty bitches and whatever, man.
I have no idea how we got from Starfleet to...
Just roll with
we
it.
We went to holodeck, and then we went Sherlock.
I think we started off at
BBC is like the most consistent theme, yeah.
Welcome to Top Gear, cars you'll never afford, you poor fuck. It's like sweet Top Gear with these British people, and they do like these races of how fast people go with like CEOs and stuff. Like, man, you got that in 13 seconds. I'm like... You could definitely go faster if you weren't so old, dude. Like, you definitely, like, stripped that gear on the fifth gear. Like, I definitely heard that.
Bloody hell.
I'm letting you know, like, this is what's on TV. They got Doctor Who on there, and then, like, I don't know, True Crime or something. I don't know. I tune out after that.
I pass out after Top Gear.
I'm just waiting for you to keep going. What's the point of me talking? I mean,
we're talking about the days and lives of like my entertainment channel. Like, sometimes I watch like History Channel, you know, because I like to see like those like old dudes from the pawn shop. Be like, I know a dude. I'm like, you don't know a dude. It's the same dude you called yesterday. Like, you can't say it's a new dude. It's like, let's bring in this old dude from the history museum to be like, oh, it's not an original silver like Smith and Wesson from 1887. It's a replica. It's like, who cares? Like, you're gonna sell it to like a bunch of rednecks. Next anyway, just upmarket.
Now, this child that you have, Tara, you believe she might be one. What do you feed her?
Like spinach and like it's baby food spinach. Sometimes I gave her a cupcake yesterday because like, because like,
did you chew it up first and put it in her mouth?
No, a whole cupcake. Because like Heather was like, okay, she's got to go to bed because it's 9 o'clock. I get home from work. I go to Walmart, buy like a 24 pack of cupcakes, just give her a whole chocolate cupcake, and I was like, you know, and she's like, you're a dick. I'm like, deal with it.
I mashed it up in a bowl first and gave it to her.
I just gave her the whole cupcake. I'm like, you're gonna party on. Like, it's like, this is how I'm raising you today. Like, we're just gonna do it like this.
Embrace the freedom.
We're getting turned up off some shit.
Yeah, like, I've had her like put on my headset before. Like, I do online games, and I'm like, you know, I'm like, go ahead, like, we'll play Call of Duty or like World of Warcraft or something. She'll have the headset on, and like all these people are getting mad. Like, we're wiping again. We're wiping again. I'm like, you're talking shit to it like a 6 month old. Are you happy?
Oh, James, you are.
My parenting is top notch,
right?
Because like
he's free range.
Not everybody can be a winner, and it's just like I'm just teaching her to be a winner.
You better get him used to life.
Not everybody can be a winner, and I'm just teaching her not to be a winner. Is that what you just said?
I'm teaching her to be a winner. Oh, okay. It's like sometimes
it's very zen. Like, he just lets her be, and then he provides choices, and you know, she either makes them or she doesn't.
You fuck up sometimes. Hey, you make the wrong choice.
How describe to me the James Neese philosophy of success. If I want to be a success like you, how do I do it?
Well, a lot of people say it's hard work, but really it's just lying. Like, you know.
Fake it till you make it?
Yeah, that's the Trump 101, man. Like, you
Trump
know,
101.
It's like, you know, I could say that, you know, I didn't go through like five bankruptcies. That makes me look bad. I could say I restructured it. You know, we restructured my company. And it's just like... That's how you do it, man. Like, some people are like, man, I want to work hard and get where I'm going. Like, you're going to get shit, you fucking scrub fag. You know, it's like, you're getting shit. Okay.
The opinions and the words used by James Neese are not the opinions of the hosts or myself or really society.
I mean, sometimes you got to, you know, look at a dude and you see, like, man, his production is 108%, but we're doing a tiered system. And it's like, you know what? Dave, you're a great guy, but like, I really need that Lamborghini, bro. Like, I'm definitely gonna restructure your fucking job title.
Oh, like, wow.
You, sometimes you got to be ruthless like that. I tell people like this online. I tell people, like, I do score mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, we're SBA. Like, people are like, what do I do? I'm like, well, you're going to blow 50 grand and people are going to buy you out and restructure you. Like, you want to lose your house? Because I'll definitely take your house.
You know? For half the price.
I mean, it's, but yeah.
You don't tell them to, it's SBA. You don't have much choice. But like, with business commercial financing, you would never tell them to personally guarantee it, would you?
I would tell them anything to get them to buy it. You know what I mean? It's like,
but
he feeds
score?
His daughter a chocolate cupcake.
I was gonna say, if you're doing that through score, like, whoa.
He feeds his daughter a chocolate cupcake before bed. He's not responsible.
He doesn't like burden her with 150 grand in debt, though, that she'll never be able to clear out through bankruptcy.
Are we sure?
actually, at score, I do like pretty much just like, hey, let me tell you like the information technology you need to buy. But like, if you get me in like a bar, dude, I will like I'll be like, hey, you need to sell this. Like, you're like, well, that's not ethical. I'm like, no one needs to know.
Define ethical.
Like, no one's watching. You're not gonna get caught.
I'm just saying, you got to wolf for Wall Street at sometimes. You know what I mean? It's
beat
like,
the chest.
Yeah, and if you get caught and you see like the vans outside. And the agents rushing in, it's like just have an escape chute in your office where you can like pop up in your Bugatti, dude, and like hit that airport. Because once you hit Jamaica, dude, they ain't getting you no more. There's no extradition there.
Marcus Schrenker, the guy from here, was that right? The guy,
he jumped out of the airplane,
and he had his motorcycle waiting, but then he had like a cadaver in the plane, so it looked like his body, like died in the crash. And, I mean, it was.
Oh yeah.
I forget. He's actually in jail. He's the cellmate
of
somebody.
There was a
doc on it.
What are you doing?
I mean, that's where
I look over and Aaron is like. Filleting the microphone for a selfie.
Hey, that was for your buddy Jeff.
Put the
Jeff
phone down.
Yeah, quit texting.
So Greg, when are you going to get that engaged. To that point?
Shout out to
your finance place where you're going to be that.
Never. Does anyone ever get there?
Shit, Greg's working up there. I mean, like 3 more years, Greg will definitely be like senior, like partner in acquisitions.
I just want to take over 4chan with James Neese, and then we'll incorporate it, and we'll you know what. Troll consultants. We've talked about this before.
Well, I think me
yeah,
and Greg.
Trollium, LLC.
I think we have the same dreams every night.
Yep, we do. Because we have the same meme ideas.
You know, I'll wake up and I'll be like, Greg, you want to go in half with me with this freaking Tinder /
Do you
never mind? I better not talk about it.
When you when you're doing the bank and you do repos, do you personally want to?
We don't. No, because we don't hold anything on our line like U.S. Bank or anything like that.
But do you want to? I mean, like, do you want to be that?
It's not
dude?
My problem.
Like when like they don't pay, do you want to kick open the door and like a kid's like eating like a taco, you knock that shit out their hand, like you can't afford this, bitch.
No. No, because that's how people go to jail, and then, like that's why if you get foreclosed upon, you've still got about 4 years before you ever have to be out of the house.
Right.
But in 4 years, you're saying that's definitely in.
I mean, I would hope by then you'd made one payment, so they have to start all over again.
But
make a single payment. He's not denying he won't knock that fucking taco out.
I'm just saying, like, if you in 4 years can't scrounge up a $560 payment of just the principal and interest,
you're struggling. You're gonna knock that taco out of your hand.
I will crunch that taco in two.
You're like, you want to go to college? Too bad. Here's an application to Denny's. Like, damn, great thug life, dude.
Grand Slam?
He's the future Potter.
I'll get you there, bro.
I know.
We'll get there.
Put your trust and faith, and you'll never.
We'll be one of those like shady like 25% APR lenders. It's like, come on, bro. Like, I want to take your house. I'll take your fucking wife, dude. Like,
could you imagine if
just
James
a payday loan commercial?
It's like that American Spirit loan where it's like.
Oh yeah!
You can get $10,000 with
45 minutes with a thumbprint.
74 payments of $867.
Yeah. Even if I wasn't that, I would at least like to be president of like Everest College. You know where people are like Everest, get yourself an education. I'm like, damn right. What do you want, bro? Business, paralegal, dealer? I got it all, man. Slinging that
shit. Could you imagine if James were your banker, your insurance agent, or
it's way better when he's in charge of financial data and he's the one standing between that and the deep web. That makes you feel way better.
Yeah. I mean, like, I would definitely be like a great face. Like if I was like governor, dude, I'd be like, yeah, I don't give a shit. Fuck your roads. I don't give a shit. I ain't building that up. I would literally curse every conference and people would be like, why are you like robbing Medicare again? I'm like, because I don't give a shit. Thug life, smoke blunts, 420 every day. Blaze it, faggot.
James Trump. Really? Do you have to say the F word?
Yeah.
That's something that we say in private, James.
I mean, we. You claiming that word now?
No. No. Okay. That's not right. That's offensive. That's offensive.
It's only offensive if you're a lesser, like, non-American person, and that's fine with me because you don't vote anyway. It is what it is.
You mean a parallel Mexican?
Parallel Mexicans, dindus.
Dindus?
Didn't do nothings.
Okay. James, you have to stop talking now. Speaking of offensive, I want to talk about the meaning of words. Mm. Yes, let's get deep. Let's get right into it. And let's talk about the shooting that just happened a few days ago.
Tragic.
So many times we are offended and outraged by something. And anytime I hear anybody say, I'm offended, I think you're lying. I think you're full of crap. Like, and maybe it's just because I'm offended by nothing. Like,
you cold, heartless son of a bitch.
No, but I mean, Greg knows me well enough. Is there anything I'm really offended by?
No, there's things that you don't love to see or, like, hear about. But other than that, like, that doesn't even get you to the point where, like, you're physically upset.
But there are things that morally outrage me, and it's usually violence against people.
And you keep it private. Like, you don't go out and say, well, we need to ban.
Of course.
You know.
That doesn't fix anything.
No. I just think that people, when they, you know, I'm offended by Rachel Dolezal. I just think you're full of crap. I honestly do. But when you see something like these videos of this shooter, what's his name? Vernon?
Vester.
Vester, yeah.
Yeah, Vester. I forget his first name. I'll look it up.
It's Vester, the reporter molester.
Okay, stop.
Vester Lee Flanagan II.
All right.
Wow.
And so when you see the shooting, and then when you watch the point of view shooting,
I think it's Flanagan.
Yeah, Flanagan. It's Vester Flanagan.
He had like two names,
but he refers to himself as Bryce Williams.
Williams.
Right. Yeah. It is disturbing. It is outrageous. It is troubling, and it's one of those times where you say outraged and disturbed and offended and troubled, and you actually feel the words as opposed to just saying the words without actually having any emotion behind them. Because if you saw the video, and I wouldn't recommend watching it, because there's really, you know, and honestly, F you, New York Daily News, for putting the three photos that you put on your cover today of the killing. It's just, man, using something like this as clickbait or a reason to buy and sell newspapers and get PR is really, you're shameful. You watch these videos and you feel those words. And I think the first takeaway that I have out of this situation is just, there's things like this that, like Sandy Hook, like Virginia Tech, like Columbine, like this, where we feel what outrage actually is and what it means to actually be disturbed and offended. And we should really keep that in mind the next time a Rachel Dolezal comes along, or the next time Donald Trump says some crazy batshit insane things.
Anchor baby.
Right, or an anchor baby. You're not offended.
Someone hunts a lion.
You know, yeah, the next time somebody hunts a lion. Also, got the new frames. Went with the Minnesota dentist look.
Those are killer, bro.
Hey, they worked. They worked today.
They did.
They did.
They did.
I'm a waitress.
Yep.
You gave her those bedroom eyes.
What can I say? I'm on fire. I'm in fuego.
Did you say those glasses slay pussy just like Cecil?
I told you they're killer, bro. All right, back to feelings.
So back to the mass shooting, James. So I think my first takeaway is that you feel the impact, you feel the words, you feel the difference between these manufactured outrages that we seem to float between and something that is truly tragic and something that is truly outrageous. I don't know. That's my first takeaway from this. The second is, you know, I'm a Second Amendment. Everybody has the right to own a gun as anybody. In full disclosure, have never even fired a gun. I don't own a gun. I don't care if you own a tank. Honestly, that's I don't have any moral objection to it. I just haven't. But I think you're a scumbag if you use this to push everybody should own a gun, and just as much as we need to ban all guns, people are. you know, if you watch those POV, you know, well, if they had a gun, they could have protected themselves. No. You watch it, and the guy was standing there for a good minute without any one of the three of the people standing there doing the live shoot noticing that this gentleman was standing behind them with a gun, pointing it at the reporter, and then he pulls the trigger. There was absolutely no gun could have saved these three lives, plain and simple.
My favorite political science professor in college was, while he was getting his PhD, he was a cop in Oakland, California in the 70s. And he always was adamant, you know, he didn't ever let it know which side of the spectrum he came on, but he goes, as someone that was a police officer for 15 years in a heavily racially charged environment, if someone wants to kill someone, they're going to.
Exactly.
There is not one thing I could do, whether they had a gun, a knife, a cannon, a drone, if they want you dead, even I as a, you know, protector of supposedly human life, if there's nothing I can do to prevent it if they really want to kill somebody.
Yeah.
This is a scenario where
nothing.
They could have had.
You got your choice of tools.
Yeah,
it's a tool.
It wouldn't have mattered. I mean, even if guns were banned, let's say just all guns were outlawed, there were no guns, or it was like Japan, you had to check it into a locker and get it out. Even in that scenario here, he would have attacked them by pushing them off a bridge, or you know, any way possible, because he was a delusional individual.
Right.
You know, he wrote that suicide note saying that his boy was the Virginia Tech shooter, that Jehovah told him to do this. You know, an individual like this, other than holding him in a cell for a cage, like in Minority Report, for like preemptive crime, that's the only way. And then, you know, you don't want to do that because I think all of us have had moments where we're so enraged we could probably imagine something, and you know, there's no interpreting that, or we say something. We clearly say things all the time on this recorded podcast we don't want ever to be used against us, which will. But you know, that's the thing, is that at a certain point you just have to accept it.
Yeah, we don't live in a utopia, and we never will.
And there's
there's something going to happen. You can't factor out the crazy. There's always going to be a percentage of things that happen that are just going to happen.
Yeah, if we had thought crimes, dude, I'd be like 9 life sentences or something like that, dude. I would be a lifer. I would be the dude when you go in there for like thought crimes. Like, Greg, sounds like you thought about robbing this place. You know what I mean? It's like, well, like, hey man, let me tell you the rules of the joint. It's like, let me take you around, show you the cantina. This is, we have shifts for cleaning the bathroom. It's like, I've been here for life. Like,
what's Wesley Snipes' character in Judge Dredd?
Oh, God.
You know who they, like, you know, he was so terrible, they froze him forever, and yep. Then he comes back.
Yeah, he brought back.
That would be James Neese if they had the ability to cryogenically
freeze. Han Solo? Or is that the
Han
movie?
Solo, yes. Harrison Ford.
Oh, what I like the first Judge Dredd movie, the one where the guy's like, you know, he's like, you betrayed the law. I am the law. It's like, God, what are you saying, dude?
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. With Sylvester Stallone and Wesley Snipes.
Now, there's one Sylvester Stallone in, like, the some law dude that got like in charge of like the adjudicate or something.
Is that the one where he's like outside the giant city?
No, like, it's when he's inside it. There's like two Judge Dredd movies.
I can't remember. It's been a while.
Yeah, I'm not up to date on my Judge Dredd. Like, it's just one of those things where it's like.
Well, I'm just saying that if you were, you would be the criminal that's frozen forever and never unfrozen.
I mean, that's my plan when I die. Like, I'm getting frozen. You know
Walt
what I mean?
Disney.
So,
yeah.
Like, I'll come back and I will rain so much havoc. It's just like, you know, I've been dead once. You ain't gonna kill me again. But
I'm back.
Yeah. Like, I want to see the memes of the future. I want to see what. You got. I know you're not going to reproduce, so like I'm not going to meet your kids.
What
so.
Does that mean? I could reproduce. I could pump out a kid right now if I wanted to.
Chris,
he's not as sterile as his bathroom.
That's right. I'm a virile man. Okay.
I have a feeling,
I was ready to fight you in the nude.
I have a feeling that like you're like the dude that's like, man, these fucking Durex, man. I gotta like, wrap it. I have a feeling that you have this conceptual fear. Yeah, this conceptual fear of like VD, like because you're just like reading like Vietnam posters. And it's like. Wrap it before she traps it. You know, it's like, oh.
Did you insert a penny and let it
Did you go to my bedroom? 48
seconds.
You saw all the World War I syphilis posters?
Yeah, it's like, remember, when you're having a good time, the Axis is winning.
All right, back to the violent killing of two people, Greg.
Yeah, that's great.
I for me, I struggle with that idea that, you know, like the New York Daily Mail, or was it the News?
The New York Daily News, yeah.
Daily News. The intent matters. When you're using it as clickbait, that's really important. At the same time, anytime you hide something that's evil or sick, it's real easy to be like, well, it can misportray this individual.
Exactly.
Like if they had hidden for him, if we didn't have that video, I think there would be a totally different narrative around
it's
this killing.
Been it anyway, mm-hmm. And that's the whole thing is you. It what's sick is making money off of the actual story, and that's where the line, because you want everything out there, you need to have all the information as
you
far
do.
As what happened, but as far as like publications trying to make money because that's what they do, you have to take that. I don't know. It's just such a double-edged sword. You can't really.
No, I think like, you know, like with a newspaper like that, I have no problem with them trying to, you know, posting using Kim Kardashian pictures in order to get page views or whatever to their website. But, you know, it essentially there's kind of been the in new like just the idea of news in the United States is that 1 hour a week or 1 hour a day is dedicated to just the news, not to use that hour to make money. You know, it's
yeah, right.
It's your job is in, you know, keeping an informed country.
Well, that's how it was before, like, private corporations bought it. Because it used to be public even before the Vietnam.
Yeah.
When the Vietnam shit hit, they're like, we got to kind of control it a little bit because of the whole, you know.
Even then, even until the 90s, until the late 90s, they didn't mind losing money on news divisions whatsoever.
No.
It was an honorable thing to do because, and you also had the perception that the newsmen were
honest.
Well, not honest and trying truthful. Their best to do a just facts, not any analysis whatsoever, and trying to present, even because anytime you present facts, you're trying to present the facts. Those guys, I think, believe they were trying to present them in a totally down the middle way instead of, you know, picking and choosing facts that can be created. You can create a narrative like Fox does by like in this scenario with Fox. They're so pro-gun, you know, so anti-gun control. Fox is going to report the story so much differently than MSNBC.
Sure.
Whereas I think it would be, since there's no just national, like BBC or something like that, it'd be interesting to see what that narrative would look like with the facts.
Well, it's crazy because they're competing with the internet, which the shooter uploaded in real time.
Was live
what was
tweeting.
Actually happening, which is actually the news, and it's being tweeted out at the point. Like, you could see it. I saw it, like, 2 seconds after it happened.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what the hell is
and
going on?
And within 5 minutes, Twitter had pulled down that account.
Yeah. And then there's people re-uploading on YouTube, and then...
Well, then
obviously, the news are behind 2 hours or whatever the hell they are.
But here's the problem is we fail to have any kind of context.
Well, exactly. There is none. Because you have no idea what's going on, what's going through this guy's head, what's going on. It's so... It's whoever gets the first story out gets...
But I guess what I'm saying is that when we were sitting there yesterday, we were getting all the information as soon as it was coming out. We were getting it in real time. We were seeing the videos. We were seeing it raw. We were seeing the mistakes. You know, 4chan, 4chan pulling the photo of the one guy. And
random people getting accused. Same with the Boston bombings and everything else. Reddit's going after all these random people who have backpacks. And
right.
I don't know. It's just crazy.
And, you know, it's... In one respect, seeing the video, it is a disturbing video, and it definitely was something that punched me right in the soul.
Oh yeah, it's
but I have
immediate like gut wrench, like cringing, and you've got all these libertarians that are immediately calling for this to be a false flag. This annoys
really?
Me.
Immediately.
And, it, you know, it,
his
it's
head
like
was white,
the
bro.
The one thing I like about libertarians, they question authority.
Everything.
Question everything. The problem with the libertarians, they question everything, you know. So I'm glad you're questioning everything, guys, but this is not a false flag.
Well, they're so used to the government lying to them. Just because someone's lying to you doesn't mean the competing narrative is correct.
They're delusional.
You know, so just the government...
Yeah, you're gonna put your personal bias
in. Right, so like, yeah, just because someone else has a hypothesis of what actually happened doesn't mean that's the one you should leech onto because the government one is wrong.
Sometimes we have a fear of the obvious, that it can't just be the obvious thing right in front of our face.
Exactly. And then that crazy shit happens and nobody, you know...
Because shit happens, guys.
Because it is just so hard to rationalize from the standpoint of... For rational, well-thinking, you know...
Four.
And James Neese. human
He's
beings.
He's a step above rational.
And out of the five of us, one of us has empathy and a soul. And then there's you guys.
I have the greatest of empathy. Like, I just... He doesn't use it. Is what it is. I'm just curious, like, why...
You have to earn it.
Yeah. I'm just curious why they took the videos down on Twitter, because, like, they took all these videos down of this one shooting, but, like, I see, like, you know, when Dylan took it to the roof, you know, at the church, he...
Or Nick Berg or any of that kind of stuff,
yeah. Like, they never took it down. It's like, what makes this event so special? And, I kind of want to see, like, a narrative behind it where it's like, okay... Will we just put on, like, white serial killers or mass murderers? Are we going to put on, like, people of color as well? And, like, that's a narrative kind of going around as well. Did he intentionally block it out because it doesn't fit, like, the white psychopath narrative that some media stations like to press out?
We'll talk about the racial aspect in a minute. Let's stick on the media and kind of wrap this part up. But, you know, as far as seeing the video, it wasn't nearly as disturbing as the first time I saw the Nick Berg video, the soldier who was beheaded in Iraq.
Syria.
In Syria. Yeah. I mean, this is the early days when you had video on the internet, and it was, I mean, gosh, this was 10 years ago, I think, when I saw that. Yeah. And I just was not right for like 2 days. And I had a friend who saw this, and she was messed up all day yesterday because she saw the video. She just clicked on it, watched it, and there was no like warning because it's just right into it. And you know, and part of me wonders if that is a good or a bad thing. Is that the sort of thing that is good for us as a society because we directly see and as a result feel to the core of our humanity, we feel violence. Well, and I think too often we in our society we are surrounded by violence. Violence and anger are our first instinct in our culture, and we don't often kind of remove ourselves and see from a different perspective the result of that. And this made you see that and have a different perspective and just go, holy crap. So in one respect I think that it was good, but in the other respect it's, I mean, there's a lot of people who you put poison into your soul and your head, you can't get it out sometimes.
Well, it's just weird because...
Like two girls, one cup.
God. Like I've been on the internet for a while. Like, I played Mortal Kombat games since I was, like, 6 years old. So violence to me is just kind of like, oh, cool, kittens, next thing, you know? So it's...
Right.
That's not good.
Specifically.
Exactly, like, yeah.
The point of it is
Thank
like...
Thank you for proving my point, James.
Everything you see on the TV and, like, video games, all media, is pretty much inundated with violence, inundated... Or whatever that word you want to use.
Use it right.
You know, so I guess from like age 6 and up, you're pretty much, you know, watching violence consistently. And it's kind of shocking that people are like, oh man, this person got shot. It's not bad if you're revolted by it. It's like you watch people get shot all the time, either in fiction or nonfiction, or you watch true crimes, you watch True Detective, you watch History Channel. Even your own history books and classes are people getting gunned down. So it's like it's kind of weird that people are like, oh, I'm revolted by it. I'm like, what, are you revolted by the act of violence, or are you revolted by the fact that it's something in real time that you saw? I mean,
they experienced it.
Yeah.
I mean, because
what made that video so shocking is it happened right then.
It was going, yeah, it was the intensity of the real time.
You can watch videos online all the time of people getting beheaded or Mexican cartels carving people up with chainsaws, which I find all of them completely insanely crazy. Like, and I'm just like, ugh. But for some reason, that one was just like, just out of the blue.
I think it's like impact, you know? It's like you have like animal people, like, you know, when they see like a dog get killed, they're like, oh man, that's sickening. How can people do that to a dog? But they'll crush like hundreds of spiders or a day. Like, is a spider's life less valuable than a dog's life? They're both animals in the animal kingdom, but you'll crush hundreds of spiders, kill millions of ants, but you know, you'll get repulsed by a dog because there's some sort of attachment to it. You know, it's a cute dog, I'm attached to it. Like, this, you know, are they attached to the story? Like, why are they attached to the story?
Yeah, like a value hierarchy of human life.
Yeah,
and I think a couple things. I think you're in an echo chamber on your Facebook where everybody is posting about it. You're seeing it. People are expressing sad emotions. So your emotions are all like, oh, this is an awful story. So you're right there bathing in that. And then you watch the video, and the video is... It is so intimate. It is not like the Chelsea Manning videos
you're disconnected.
I
find the same thing when I see people getting just sucker punched and getting the famous video from in Indianapolis that happened of the chick getting jumped who was like 13 or whatever with her brother.
Yeah, the playground. Yeah.
I felt the exact same way. I'm like, what in the hell? You know, it's just, I don't know. It's weird. well, watching it, someone being helpless, but you see it from a drone strike video, and you're just like, okay,
well,
I don't.
Well, that a lot of it's the intent. Like, I think what scared a lot of people too is the randomness of this.
Oh, yeah.
Since there wasn't a motivation early on that you could prove.
It just crazy, bro.
You know, and then, yeah, it just seemed like they were so random and helpless, and there really wasn't anything that could be accomplished by any policy position, any law. You know, what you are total. It just exposed that that area of people don't like to explore, where there really isn't any. You don't really have total control.
My issue is it's not so much as like people are like shocked by it. It's just the fact that people won't get over it within 24 hours. You know, like within 24 hours, there'd definitely be memes
shit,
about
less
it.
Less than that. Yeah. I mean, it's
you care for like six hours.
Yeah, before your newsfeed fills up with shot her second day of school.
National
or, you know,
Dog Day.
You'll watch the video and you'll be like, this is outrageous. You'll do your blurb on Facebook. You
and
do your
like,
blurb
oh,
on
shit,
Twitter.
I got to figure out something
and
else
then
to watch.
And the next day, you're like, you see that shit? Yeah, I saw it. You know what I mean? It's like your empathy is only limited to like two or three sound bites on a Twitter feed that you're doing.
We,
and after
we
that,
live
it's
in
over.
A...
You're done. Like,
yeah.
You know,
we live in a world where it's just
the ADD.
Info coming in. You can't deal with it all.
The other reason that I think that this... especially was so disturbing is that you know, like Sandy Hook was just man, that depressed me for days just because it was kids.
Oh yeah, that's
with something like the beheading videos in ISIS, you're going into it with all the context, and so you've
exactly.
already your brain has already been filled with all of the context. With this,
you kind of know what's going to happen.
Well, with this, you knew that somebody was shot, so you click on the video. But, man, it is literally like you are standing right next to him as he is shooting somebody.
You're on his shoulder.
And on the video.
You're on the end of the gun.
And you don't have any context as to who he is, what his motivation is. We're triggered in the animal portions of our brain that, oh, my God, he's still out there. This could happen to me. These people look like us. These people are, you know, just... standing there. They're totally unassuming. I mean, I think there's a very real fear trigger that is hit with this incident that I you know, that I think that's why it impacted us. And it's, you know, this is a 24-year-old woman, and newscasters, if you ever have been around news people, like I've worked around news people, and they all look like 5 years older than they actually are. She's 24.
Yeah.
And I'm 31, and 24 is young, and then she's got the fiance, and they're happy, and then she's got the dude, he's getting married, and he's 27. It just sucks, and I think that's part of the reason that it impacted us all so, because it was without context. You know, it was almost like the DC sniper thing, where there's
have no idea what's going on.
When exactly.
When it's gonna strike, what's happening?
Right.
Random
is the most scary thing in the world.
Oh, yeah.
Intent is that desensitizes you. Like, you see the beheading or you see a drone strike on YouTube or something.
Or the Tsarnaev brothers.
You're the Tsarnaev
random
when
act of killing.
When it's the rogue actor.
Yeah. It's insane.
It's that, you know, it's that Heath Ledger character in Dark Knight that there is no explanation, and they know it. And they love it that you know it, and you're in fear, which just makes it even more. And then, but then at the same time, like with you look at these pictures from the libertarian perspective, the question becomes, what's the result going to be? Because people I know that are staunch gun rights supporters now are looking at it from a perspective of, well, maybe we need a more in-depth national conversation. You know, because of the way the news has become sensationalized. The events that happen when they are like this and they get traction and they get pushed and pushed and pushed to get as many eyeballs as possible end up being so impactful that it take people that are totally rational and have very principled positions are now susceptible to an event like this where it's, well, now I'm scared.
Yeah.
You know, the same person that says, oh, good luck letting a robber come in here, now all of a sudden is...
Well, you could have two shotguns, two pistols, and AR-15 on your back. You're still going to get...
Exactly.
Shot in the back of the head. I mean, if somebody wants to kill you.
Exactly. That's the thing. And so the thing is I am torn. I want people to see these photos because it's like the dead soldiers coming back from Iraq. It doesn't feel real if you don't see the reality.
We have to feel violence to stop it.
Right. And then at the same time, though, because most people haven't given this much thought, the implications of it, the instinct is going to be emotional. It won't be rational, and it will err on the side of, well, you know what? I think we, you know, in the United States, we need to just get rid of guns because we're the only, you know, developed country that has this mass shooting problem. Or that, you know, that's the narrative that repeats itself on the news.
It's your cultural mentality. It's not to do with the guns. It's comparative. If I compare every other, like, you know, European nation or, like, you know, Asian nation to the United States, we have a very competitive and very, like, cracky society. At a point, like, you can go from, like, a millionaire to being, like, dirt poor in less than a day.
We have a volatile, yeah.
Yeah, like, it's... We stress so much on competition that it becomes to a point that people obsess over it. Like, you know, this guy cracked because pressures at work, pressures from his coworkers.
There's always an excuse. Yeah, it's never just.
They don't have that in Europe. You know, they don't have that level of, you know, if I don't get this extra hour or two in, or I don't get this report down, I'm a failure. You know, we don't have that level of. I mean, in Japan, there's issues like that. You know, if I don't get this thing done, you know, suicide's an issue with people in careers like that.
But it's not a personal, like in Japan.
But they jump off buildings. They don't kill themselves with.
Yeah, guns. theirs is a national pride collective thing. Instead of the United States, it's I need to be obscenely wealthy by 25 because I was told I could be president at 3.
Nope. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I sent Aaron an article today. I don't know if you got to read that or not about that. It's called Strain Theory. Mm-hmm. In mental health. And what it is that idea, just in summation, this isn't all of it, but like in summation, it's that there's such an intense internal pressure we put on ourselves because we were raised with such high, or even though the idea was to boost self-esteem, being told we could do whatever we want, we could be whatever we want, it was individualized and you haven't accomplished it. And so then, like in this guy's scenario, he gets let go. He sued them, you know, the news station prior to. They settled because it was like a negligible amount. And then he, though, felt depressed. He couldn't take that it was him not being good because he's been told he'd been good his whole life.
Right.
He couldn't take it, and so he started looking for outside oppressors.
Yeah.
And so that's what that strain theory is within sociology, is that as a culture, since prior, like in Japan, they're all doing it to make Japan great. So you work hard as an individual to make the collective proud. Here... it is the Kardashianization of, well, I'm not, and most times it's not even wealth, it's fame. People don't even, you know, the average person, like this guy didn't want wealth. He wanted to be known.
Successful.
Right.
Which is why he took the route he took.
Yeah. Let me tell you, anybody who works in media, as someone who has spent his career in media, it is basically a business full of insecure people seeking approval and attention. Hi. and it is...
Later.
You know, it is, yes, please make some more Dear Leader memes of me. You know, and trust me, my wax wings melted hard the last couple months and talked about it a little bit in the last podcast. And one of the problems is comparison. You know, nothing kills your self-esteem quicker than comparing yourself to other people. You know, and when you are... In self-esteem, you can either link with other people or you can compare yourself to other people. And when you link with other people, you're trying to have honest connection, as we talked about in that last episode. You're not looking at that other person as a competitor. You're looking at that other person as another human being that you two can have mutual respect for each other. You can help each other. You can connect with each other, and things can develop and be good. Or you can be a comparing person and say, this person is more successful than me, and... then your self-esteem just erodes because you're libertarians more than anybody else have to be evangelical about the idea of the individual. And we have to preach personal freedom in every single sector of our lives. You know, we have to be obsessed with personal freedom at the individual level and really spread that message because that is that is what's going to stop events like this. You know, what it comes down to, as a person who has compared myself to other people my entire life, who has sought out attention that has led me to great, great careers, great jobs, a large social circle, but poor personal relationships in a lot of way and bad thinking habits because I have been obsessed with how can I be more popular than these other people? And... when that doesn't happen, when you're not as successful as somebody else, because somebody will always be more successful than you, someone will always have what you want to have, someone will always get the girl that you want, someone will always blah, 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 you become angry. And anger is a secondary emotion. The root emotions are guilt, fear, and shame. And somebody like this, when you're angry at other people to protect. It's a prehistoric defense mechanism. So you become angry at someone because you feel like you're under attack, because they're killing your self-esteem. They're making you feel less than. And self-esteem is as important as food and water to human survival.
I mean, like, let's go over like all the mass shootings. Like the guy from Virginia Tech, you know, mm-hmm. the Asian dude, whatever his name is. Like he shot up the place because of some grades or some girl issue where it's like, oh, okay, this girl didn't like me. Dylan Roof, he shot up that church because some girl didn't fuck him. You know, like, okay, cool. Then you had the dude that, you know, in Southern Texas that shot up that girl because why? She wouldn't fuck him. It's,
right.
It's an issue of these people either are entitled to this.
Right.
If you have a feeling that you're dead set that I'm entitled to this,
yep.
like I'm entitled to only date these 10 out of 10 women. I'm entitled to make $150K a year. I'm entitled to get this Harvard degree. And you believe that for so long, you get this sort of neurosis thing that if it doesn't meet that expectation, because sorry, dude, you're not getting that 10 out of 10. You look like a troll. You're not getting right. that.
You should be content with what you have in life. And what content with yourself and what you can personally achieve.
So how is America going to like fix that issue when America is born and bred from that issue?
Mm-hmm.
Like Bernie. This is America. That isn't. There's nothing more American than believing you're entitled and you deserve the best.
That's so, only in the last 30 years.
Yeah. But here's the problem is that we look at this, and I wrote an article on We Are Libertarians, a little ditty on We Are Libertarians, because you know I just look at this from a different perspective because I am obsessed with personal freedom and the individual. Mm-hmm. And I look at this and I say, the way to fix this is by controlling the only thing, the only person on the planet that you can control, and it's it is you. Yourself.
It's public shaming is what it is.
And
you
so,
have to shame people.
Exactly right. And so what you have to do is, what is the opposite of anger and hate? It is love. It is seeking the welfare of another person, yeah. which means making sure that that other person is taken care of, that they're happy, and accepting some responsibility for the people around you and making sure that their welfare is taken care of. That is, and in exchange, they will do the same with you. The way that you treat other people is how they will end up treating you. And that is the only way that we fix this, is by you making the decision to treat people, to not have your first response, as the culture has taught you, to be anger and violence. And to be
a victim. Culture.
It is to be content with yourself and to pull yourself up by your bootstraps, work on your self-esteem, get a book called Self-Esteem by Matthew McKay, and read it and think about the cognitive distortions that you have going on in your head. You know, think about how you treat people. Think about how you react to others. And then start being evangelical about individuals treating other individuals correctly. Because society is obsessed with finding a fix because they want the easy fix. The hard fix is fixing yourself, because that's the going deep inside your mind and dealing with your own emotions is scary, and that's tough. And you might not do it right, and you're plagued with self-doubt and fear and shame and guilt and all that other BS. So let's do what we do all the time, push it onto somebody else. Let's pass a gun law. Let's have more guns. Let's have this problem. Let's pass a law. Let's fix a law. Let's repeal a law. Let's
some
use
politics in there, man.
Right. Let's use politics to fix society's problems, because I'm incapable of being an adult and fixing my own. So I just get so pissed off when I watch
triggered.
These, I get triggered.
Russell, man.
When I sit there and read libertarians especially missing it. It is about individuals changing society, not society controlling and changing individuals. And we do it. We have groupthink, and we have to stop. You have to think differently, because more guns isn't necessarily going to fix the problem. I don't think it would hurt. An armed society is a polite society, but it's not necessarily going to end.
Yeah, it's not a panacea. It's not going to eliminate the rogue actor at all. If anything,
nothing can.
Yeah, you know, if anything,
pass all laws you want, but if somebody wants to kill somebody,
they're going to.
No law will fix an issue of the heart.
But law it's physics not, will it'll implode that son, baby. It fucks all these problems.
I would pass a law that you have to put your life story on 4chan and let them just have at it. And then if every individual in the United States don't suffer that punishment, then maybe we could beat the self-esteem and that desire for fame. And well, actually, it'd probably satisfy a desire for fame. But no, really, like there's nothing you could have done to prevent this scenario. And this guy, he talked about it. He wanted to be famous. He identified with fellow shooters. There's a definite psychological profile that he matched. He clearly had a track record of blaming others, and it's not like you're going to have some grand database where you're going to monitor people's acts through their life and say, oh, well, that correlates to this type of individual. It might be XYZ, and maybe we should identify him as a high-risk type. There's no data analytics you could do on this to prevent this type of situation. But there is no quick fix either, because getting people to accept responsibility, look inward, and say, you know what, maybe I couldn't have been president at 5, that's a big long-term cultural shift that starts on an individual basis, as all things do culturally. But I mean, woo! I mean, talk about an uphill mountain to climb.
That's hard to get people to eat. Like, if I were to get a group of 30 kids, and I would be like, okay, I do a standardized test to see where they rank on intelligence, motivation, all those sort of analytics, and I say, okay, Susan, you're going to be you're going to get a bachelor's of science degree, you're going to be a marketer, you'll make this much, and I go through listening thing, and I'm like, well, Tim, you're dumb as shit, and you're going to be a janitor. You know what I mean? Like, no one wants to hear that. Like, legitimately, that's what you're asking them to do when this looking time. Like, not everybody can be president. So not everybody can be, you know, a college graduate. Not everybody can make, you know, more than like $12 an hour.
We need ditch diggers too.
Yeah. Some people are going to be.
We've got
burger
flippers. We've got to be honest. We've got a real honesty problem in this country. And then.
Well, it's because the academic world for the longest time thought that self-esteem was the most critical thing to achievement. So, like, the key to getting higher test scores as a country and accomplishment was that if we tell these kids they're great, they're going to study hard, they'll believe it. They were wrong, because test scores haven't budged, they've only gone down. And not only that, the after effects were the me generation, the millennial generation.
Participation awards.
Yes. You know. Ribbons.
You get a
even
ribbon.
Though the kid's keeping score already.
Keeping score, you know, it's all bullshit.
It is. Yeah. And so
everybody's a winner.
And it started out with
the
best
field,
of intent.
Try your hardest.
Except now it's materializing into serious mental health issues, which is where this conversation ultimately always ends up.
Which we stigmatize and we don't want people to get help for, and people feel... You know, the thing that I have learned over the last year is the power of telling your story and saying the things that are deeply shameful.
Exactly. I'm a libertarian.
I am a gay American. No, that's not true.
We heard it here first, folks.
No,
I am a cat man.
I'm reading a book called Think Like a Freak by the Freakonomics guys, and it's really good. It's really interesting to like hear how they think differently, how they approach problems differently. And one of the things that the second chapter is the three hardest words in the English language are I don't know. And they talk about how the Iraq War and all these American soldiers and Iraqis, 200,000-300,000 lives could have been spared had the Bush administration just said I don't know. Instead of trying to pretend that they were omniscient and they knew everything and that
we need a scapegoat.
Right. And so...
Exactly right.
Check your pride, basically.
Exactly right.
Pride. Even though it was Saudi Arabians, it's the Iraqis that are really the culprit.
Right.
Well, my daddy didn't do well there, so let's go back.
You know,
exactly.
Donald, not Donald.
It was
Rumsfeld.
A heat of the moment thing, too. Let's be honest about it. I mean,
we demanded an answer.
We can't waste this good outrage.
We need an answer.
Colin Powell flat out should have just said, I don't know. I mean, his evidence with the yellow cake was just faulty. They just didn't know. They didn't have an answer. But the problem is that in politics and in business, and in other sectors of life, we really struggle with I don't know. I don't know the answer. You don't want to look weak. And as men, we especially struggle with this. We don't ever want to show weakness. And you don't want to show any authenticity, because then you're less of a man.
I don't know. It doesn't work. All right. Let's say we're part of a company.
Okay.
And I'm so bottom line driven. Like, bottom line is the only thing I give a shit about, you know? And it's like,
because then your stock options don't.
Chris Mangle, we have to move this acquisition. We're trying to buy company A and B for like $300 million in shared stock. And like, what's the best way to go about it? And if I was a CEO and I was like, I had like less than 24 hours to make this deal before that market closed. And I said, what's the best way to go about this? And you told me, I don't know. I would throw your ass out the door, dude.
It's because, like, someone sitting behind you would know. Yeah. Yeah. It's that competition.
Like, or we'll make it up as make it sound like they do know.
Yeah, and that's why people don't like that. Because you work in a job, and like, they hire you for a job, and you tell your superior you do not know, they will think you're a fucking worthless sack of shit. Well, and they will throw you out the door quicker than what you think. That's how everything works in this society. So if I can hire these people and I said, okay, your resume said you had 15 years experience building this shit and you don't know how to build this shit, you're gone, dude. You're gone. You're gone. You know,
so you're telling me that know-it-allism is more important in business and life and politics than honesty. Yeah,
the thing is that's how they see it.
Right.
They are the shakers and movers. These are the people that make things turn. The people that want results. The people that invest.
Huge decisions to make, and so they rely on the best input they can get.
They can't take that.
What they value and compensate. And
these are everybody. These are your business owners. These are your politicians. These are your military leaders. Like your generals. Like if you're a captain and he needs your report, he does not want to hear "I do not know." He needs to hear a decisive action, and it's like that aggressive, you know, alpha maleism that goes through like all these environments. You know, like politicians, like they'll tell you they don't want to tell you "I don't know." Even in their like closed board meetings, like they'd be furious if some guy told them intel and said "I don't know." Like they need a decision because for them, your decision allows them to make gains. If you stop them from making gains, and our whole society is triggered like that, where even in school, they don't accept "I don't know" because your teacher's like, "I don't accept that as an answer. Go learn it." You know, you learn that from a very
not go learn age. It. Go memorize it so I can get my bonus for
right. You're taught that. You're taught that from the thing.
Because I need 78 kids to pass.
Yeah, I have to hit my. That's the thing. They have to hit
not
their numbers.
82 because if I get 82, I'm too high and I'm going to lose my finance.
Exactly.
Yeah, you're taught that from kindergarten up. Like, "I don't know" is not an acceptable answer because your teacher will tell you that's ignorance and ignorance is wrong.
What about the jury still out on that one? Is that
that's the thing is that there are always that crisis moment for a decision maker where they can't say they're making incomplete information decisions.
It's assuming everything's black and white as
that,
well.
Yeah, that and that, it's, you know, yes or no. When you're making the decision that the terms haven't changed in the time you're making it. But like with George W. Bush, the public demanded retribution for 9/11.
Oh shit, yeah.
And they were just ignorant enough to not know anything about Islam, anything about where the people actually, you know, none of them actually cared where they were from. They just knew they were brown and from the Middle East.
And
you know, it could have been Morocco, could have been Turkey, could have been wherever. And they preyed upon
whatever
that.
The government gave them.
And, you know, they said, there's a weapons of mass destruction. And so that's the great,
can anybody define that?
Yeah.
It's a stressor, too. Like, you know, if it's even in Georgia, even like personally, we can all say here is like, "Oh, you know, I can say I don't know. I'm comfortable saying I don't know." But it depends how much stress is on the line. Like, if it's just something minor, like, you know, "Do you know the answer to this question?" "I don't know, bro." You know, we'll definitely say it. There's no issue with us saying it. But if it's something that you're riding millions of dollars on, that you're riding like basically like a life or death situation on, that you say,
even if it's your $25,000 a year job.
Or
if it's your livelihood.
Or impending terror attacks in the, you know, there's going
to
be more airplanes.
You have a shift
of
conscious attitude where, like, even consciously, you say, like, "Oh, I'm definitely a person that I don't know. Like, I'm fine with ignorance because it means I don't know." But when we put you in a high-stress environment, you're going to
be... Or a competitive environment. Yeah, you're where, like, default. If George W. Bush hadn't demanded action before re-election, the Democrats would have killed him in the next election for saying he didn't act and get...
So are we arguing...
To, like, a primal, almost, like,
I want,
tribal...
Yeah.
This has to be done.
Yeah.
So are we arguing that a system that does not work for us as a culture is unchangeable, and we should just accept it and participate in it?
No, I'm asking, why are we electing these people who...
Because there's no incentive for people that tell the truth to run, because until there isn't that competitive environment where anyone will tell anybody what they want to hear as long as they can get ahead, you can't have people that stand up on TV and say, "Listen, we don't have all the facts yet. We can't make this informed decision, and we need to be cautious."
Outside factors.
But let's distill that down. Let's break that down and get to the smallest unit here again. We love, as libertarians, Republicans, Democrats, as a culture, as a voting bloc, we love to sit there and say, you know, if we just would elect somebody honest.
No, it doesn't matter.
But, you know,
it's too many outside factors.
Right. And then we don't practice it in our own lives. And so how can we say, well, it's just never going to change. They're always going to lie. There's always going to be these incentives. But I'm going to keep voting for the same guy.
But you realize, even though they're the two worst candidates probably available, they're the most popular, Trump and Bernie Sanders, not because their policies are so great or they know what's going on, But they seem to be genuine.
They feel authentic.
Yeah.
Even though they point out the
hypocrisy, but yet they...
I think Bernie Sanders is authentic. I think he's
a hypocrite. But let's get the money out of politics, except I'll give you all the free stuff you want.
Right. Yeah. But
I mean, does anyone else not think that's a hypocritical thing?
No, the government's failed you, but I'm going to make more
government. Yeah, but as long as I'm in charge, I'll make it better.
He's the biggest narcissist.
That's not what people want.
I've heard that before.
Yeah.
People don't want honesty, though. They want decisiveness, you know?
They want to be told...
Solutions. Everyone wants solutions.
America is born out of that revolutionary spirit, the John Waynes of the world, the conquering. We have a conquering spirit that other nations don't have, and so part of being conquering, and we want to conquer every problem, we want to conquer our...
We're number one, baby.
We're know-it-all.
Right.
USA.
Well, the very most famous phrase, American exceptionalism, means you are the exception to every other country that's ever been...
People elected Reagan because he's honest, or did they elect Reagan because he was pretty much that guy that would be like, I will go over there and I'll punch Gorbachev right in his fat face? You know,
well,
that's why he was elected. It was that, boom, decisive cowboyism.
People like that. And I see a glimpse of hope in that, because normally people would like the Romneys and the whoever's going to feed me the line of bullshit.
Make America great again with a hat.
Yeah, a politician. And now you've got a couple guys that I don't necessarily like, but I kind of like the fact that people are liking them, because it shows that there's this tide that's turning in America.
But
that
the thing is, they're liking them for all the wrong reasons.
First president on Brazzers, bro.
Into the mic.
They don't have policies.
They're liking them for all the wrong reasons. It's not because their policy is great or they're going to actually solve problems. It's because they're relatable, because everybody's fed the fuck up with what's going on.
They're fed up with your typical politicians, and you've got a few guys here that are just off the cuff. They don't feel like, you know, who knows if we're going to win or not, but I've got my own money, so fuck you. I'm going to say what I want.
You're deported.
And I don't care. You know, so they like...
You're not a moment of silence for Joe Ruiz.
I don't necessarily agree with what the guy is saying, but hey, you know, at least he's not feeding me shit.
He's hitting a chord of anger that I have, too. We just disagree on a lot of things.
So many policies. And I don't even... The thing is I don't know that he knows what his policies are.
He has none.
He'll figure it out because he's a smart guy. Yeah. But right now, he's swimming to just keep his head above water because he has no idea what to do with the lead. Yeah. Donald Trump had no intention of ever leading a poll.
Did you see the toupee video today?
Oh, I haven't. What?
Oh, he called a lady out. I believe they were in Alabama or... South Carolina or something?
He was in South Carolina today.
Is that where it was, South Carolina? He read a full-page article. Yeah. I believe it was from L.A. or something. New York Times, New York Post, maybe something. I don't know.
It was probably the Times.
I watched
the
video,
LA Times.
And all they were doing was just pretty much smearing him, and they were talking about how he wore a toupee. And he just pointed at this lady and said, come up here. He goes, feel this. And he like shook his head. He goes, that's real hair.
It is real hair.
He goes, this is bullshit. Let's get down to the issue. And then just like everybody just erupted. And there's no substance in it whatsoever. Just charisma.
It's
all
reality
it
TV.
Yeah.
And he exploited the flaw of her argument. When your argument is, well, I'm going to throw a little cheap shot about something physical, and he can refute it, it doesn't matter what this policy is at that point. You've lost all credibility. He can never talk about a policy again.
Yeah, I mean, it's just...
Now watch me fuck my wife on air. I'm Trump, baby.
But you know what? Then you have a governor of Wisconsin like Scott Walker who says that the president should not should not take his trip to China because the stock market went down. Like, because another country's stock market went down, we should start canceling trips around... And yet he is a guy that's considered a serious conservative. A guy that actually could be president.
Does he think
he doesn't understand... I have no idea what's wrong with Scott Walker. I've said a lot of things I can't repeat about Scott Walker and made a lot of memes of Scott Walker I can't make public.
Do you think like the president lands or like civilians land in China is like, we better hold these people hostages for like USD dollar petrodollars?
Again, the insanity of...
I agree. I have no idea and he is someone that is being vetted and backed by the biggest donors in the Republican Party.
He's from Wisconsin. Wisconsin's like the dumbest state in the U.S.
They make cheese for
Christ's
sake.
Cheesehead.
They're Canadian light. They're the gateway to Canada.
We're going
to
basically just allow cows to vote there.
They
idiots.
Suck Brett Favre off if Brett Favre was still in there.
Well, that's true. Now, but the thing is that it's gotten so insane that we think that the president can fix every problem because we've made him an emperor. Right.
The problem is you have shit tons of irrational voters who just like, ooh, that yeah, I'm furious at the government, so I'm going to vote for this guy because he's an outsider.
I'm voting for D's Nuts because that's the candidate that speaks to me, dude.
He endorsed Bernie.
Yeah, he's beating the Libertarian Party. We're now D's Nutsians. Okay?
I can't believe D's Nuts denied to Johnson.
Wow.
Yeah, that would have been a hell of a tag team right there. Yeah. D's Nuts. I mean,
he's like, what,
10% Johnson?
In the polls?
Well, I hear he's persuaded by his campaign manager, who's a huge dick. and the people around him are just a bunch of assholes.
So. I don't know. I heard he hangs left, so I'm not voting for him.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Well, if you look at it, and like, that's the thing that gets lost in all this. Every president goes up, says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to fix this. Yeah. I'm going to fix that. Our entire system of governance is built upon no radical change. You have the House that is supposed to be the body of the passionate individuals, and then you have the Senate, who are supposed to be the elder statesmen who aren't on the, you know, the 2-year reelection cycle because they know that the American public is easily swayed when they get fired up about something. So senators are supposed to have a little bit of a buffer in that every 6 years they don't have to worry about re-election, and they can just really offer their insight and their best judgment.
But they don't offer insight. It's like a free, you know, it's...
No, because they're still politicians. They still need to fundraise. They still need to, you know, they in today's world where there's constant access, you know, they can write...
It's the nonstop information.
Right.
And no one knows what to focus on.
The real threats come from these political action committees that if Joe Donnelly had voted for, what was that recent bill that he actually ended up voting on the other side? Oh, the defund Planned Parenthood.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood.
If Joe Donnelly had voted with the Democrats, Joe Donnelly would have lost. He would have gotten a primary challenge from a real Democrat in Indiana. That Democrat would have lost, and someone like Richard Murdoch would have won.
Yep. What real Democrat in Indiana? Like, they tried to challenge Greg. Greg's essentially a Republican.
Exactly. That would have beat Joe Donnelly. Like, if Joe Donnelly had voted for not defunding Planned Parenthood, they would have run John Gregg. John Gregg is a Republican literally on every other measure other than he's in Indiana.
Yep.
Nationally, if John Gregg were on the national stage, John Gregg would be like Sessions or Cornyn from Texas.
I have a conspiracy theory that like the Democrats here in like Indiana, they ran like a couple candidates, like you know, who was it, Tally or whatever?
Oh yeah. Like that was last election.
No, it's this election.
It's this
cycle.
Election.
She dropped out.
Oh, like, she did.
The reason why she dropped out was because the AFL-CIO just said we're not supporting you, and millions of dollars in Greg. The reason why is because Tally is far more left than Greg is.
She's an actual Democrat.
And she supports a $15 minimum wage. The union does not like that.
That's about it.
That does not help the union. If she supports a $15 minimum wage, that will kill that union. Like, why join a union for better wages and better salary when the Democrats are just going to vote it in?
Well, yeah.
So because she promoted that on her plank and on her wall, the AFCO took all their money away from her, threw it into Greg, which, you know, Greg's like, you know, an ALEC member that doesn't give a shit about the unions, but they'll support him simply because he won't promote the agenda that everybody needs a wage hike. Wage hikes hurt unions, and that's why they did not support her.
He promotes the agenda that gets the most backing for the most beneficial positions financially.
It's all about where the money's at.
And that's the way it's always been, but like, you know, you look at this situation with like Bernie and the president, or with Trump. You know, they go out and they make these grand promises. They get everyone fired up. They get everyone incensed and say, look at China.
It's Obama 2.0.
Or look at Bernie. Bernie Sanders goes and says, look at these people are responsible for your plight.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the exact same sentiment that's in the shooting. Because it's someone else is responsible for you sucking.
It's taken.
Or you not wanting to look and do an honest assessment of who you are and what you're capable of or why you haven't accomplished what your goals are. And most people haven't even said, are those valid goals?
Right.
They're not even goals they personally value. They're goals they've said other people value, so I value them as well.
We should get out of awards. Like by the time you hit age 25, I think the U.S. government should determine like if you're a shitlord or not. You know, you should
a brutalist
like,
overlord. Yeah.
Shitlord.
Right, you gonna, yeah,
what is a shitlord?
There are independent groups that determine that, and you will be vetted if you are one.
Like the government's like, okay,
you have to be tapped. It's like Skull and Bones.
Yeah. There's like a point system. You're like, did you get a degree? Is it in women's studies?
50-point shitlord, you know? It's like, you know, here you go. Here's your shitlord degree. So, like, you can take it to employers. It's like, well, I know, might not be the best employee, but my goals and my aspirations and who I am says I'm a shitlord. And I know you only have, like, 12% shitlord. We have a quota. You need a couple more shitlords on staff. And I think that will make the world a better
place. I know,
now
you're incentivizing people to do worse to get shitlord status. Let's try to avoid incentives altogether.
We're trying to encourage people that listen to this program to not be like us. That's the goal here.
I mean, we're all shitlords here. Fuck. I mean,
yeah, we're all self-made.
But we're fraternal. We're the fraternal order.
Fraternal order of shitlords.
We found
a way. Of illustrious.
We're the FOSS, baby. Yeah. We're FOSS. I mean, you know, it's just, I would just call it out. People need to be aware, like, you know, when you're graduating high school, your teachers would be like, okay, Timmy, you're great. You're going to school, but Tammy, you're a fucking shitlord.
No, I do not subscribe to that. Because it's the same. That's
Tammy.
Yeah. Shitlord. You probably love Aunt Donna and want to be just like her.
I bet you're Aunt Donna's sister.
You're a shitlord. Your mom's a shitlord. I've been to parent teacher conferences. Your grandma's a shitlord.
And your great grandpappy from way back was a shitlord.
You know what we're sounding like? We're sounding like the principal in Back to the Future. All the McFlys have never amounted to anything in the history of Hill
Valley. You're the newest Dingleberry in the shitlord farm. No. In fact, you're a fucking full blown shit-a-cane, Randy.
Randy, the liquor's taking over now.
I am the fucking liquor.
I am the fucking liquor. Is that what you're saying? I am the liquor. He's so drunk, he's become the liquor.
The liquor's taking over.
The liquor's taking over.
Well, I mean, and this kind of segues in. I really wanted to talk about the appeal of Bernie because I am really doing everything I can to be civil and trying to talk people off the ledge that are libertarians.
Honestly, I will sentence you to life
in a Bucktown gas station.
Oh, wow.
That would be an upgrade from where I'm at right now.
Do you want to go work at Casey's General Store? Yeah. Is that what you want, son?
Just the polar pop.
I'll vote for Bernie if he gets rid of my student loan debt, but then I'll vote for somebody else because he already did his usefulness.
Did you see the numbers?
Oh, fuck.
One in five people aren't making a student loan payment that are nationally, federally guaranteed.
That's the guy.
Oh, yeah.
I don't
that's
like
the bubble.
Except it can't. It
that's
can't
the
be
next
cleared.
Bubble.
No. It can't be cleared. They're discharged. So there's no way until, and that would be the legislation, if federal government allowed you to personally bankrupt student loans through Chapter 7, you would see all DeVries would be gone, all Strayers, all...
Oh, yeah.
All the four...
All of them would be gone. Any school that wasn't... I mean, essentially, you would only be able to go to college. They'd start using degree. Whatever you were going to do, what your degree was going to be into, would be the amount you were allowed to get.
To be honest, they deserve it.
He's just being a shitlord. Ignore him.
Yeah. They deserve it. Like,
that's probably the best case scenario.
The governments, the universities, like the K-12 programs, like they fed everybody like my age and
bullshit.
Younger. Like, you know, just take these loans. You'll be okay.
Yeah.
Like, they artificially increase the amount of the loan every year.
And then
year.
What happened? We've got people working at fucking Pizza Hut.
Right.
They shackle like almost 100 million of like the civilians here in the United States with insurmountable debt that they can't pay back.
They made degrees worthless.
That's the government's fault. So I think that the government should allow us to bankrupt because it's their fault while you're in this predicament anyway. Because you made the barrier of entry into some of these workforces so fucking high that you have to take out a loan or go flip burgers.
Yep.
And it's like...
There's an in-between as well. You can go take an internship and get...
No. The other part of it
find
is that
skilled work.
Your self-esteem as a millennial is
I'm
tied
entitled to a fucking...
I don't have a college degree, and I have told two people that this week that have known me. One is a fairly new friend, another person I've known for months. And she goes, well, I'm not going to get into an argument with a straight-A student. And I said, I laughed. I said, I had a C average, a C plus average,
shit,
B minus average in high school, and I didn't and I had a D average in college, and I dropped out.
Yeah.
She goes, "You're not serious."
Going straight to HR, man. Straight to
HR.
Not
I said,
mine.
"No,
listen, bitch. I worked hard and I made my way."
Yeah. Now I haven't heard from her since.
Well, your opportunities popped up before the traditional opportunities would for someone.
But because I got out, I didn't
worked hard. And
I
made
worked
contacts.
Hard, yeah, because it was something that I was ashamed of, that I didn't have a college degree like my peers.
Which you shouldn't be, though.
Which I shouldn't be, because a college degree is not dependent upon the success that I can. My college degree, had I finished with a history degree from IUPUI, it would have absolutely nothing to do. It would help me in no way, shape, or form as the web director of a nationally syndicated radio comedy show.
Right, but here's the problem with
unless
that.
Unless you did, you know, funny comedy on like... But then you're a history person anyway, so you knew more than your history professors most of the time, as long as it was, you know, American history.
The HR problems that cause the HR departments that cause these problems, because like I work in IT, so I worked in tandem with HR. When we get thousands of applicants, if we didn't have some sort of way to filter people to do these, we'd be interviewing 24/7. So to make the easiest filter I can make is say if we're hiring for like a therapist. I can say the requirement is now a master's degree. That cuts my field down to like 80% of people gone immediately. So
it's all signaling. It signals who you should.
How do you know you're finding the best candidate?
So the solution, James.
You're shooting into the wind literally all the time. The best candidates have.
And that's why I'm saying that it's the government has literally flooded the marketplace with
degrees.
Worthless fucking degree.
Because the problem is you are forcing someone to spend $100,000 to get an education so they can get an interview when you're robbing... I mean...
Do you know how easy it is to get a degree,
more staffing
too?
Companies, for God's sake. Get more staffing companies.
But I mean, that's the closest thing the United States has to a national religion, is that higher education is the...
Oh, shit,
that's
the
upward social mobility.
It's not higher education that we need. It's... Just being educated and be able to think for yourself is what we need.
They don't want that, because if we had that, we'd be in real trouble.
That's why we have standardized testing.
And I have this conversation
and
with...
you can't shame people in school who get shitty grades.
I mean, talk people out of college all the time. And, you know, I have this conversation all the time because I was this way. I went to college because other people wanted me to go to college. And it benefited me a little bit in critical thinking, and it helped me get the job and that launched my career path. But there wasn't $12,000 worth of value in what I got out of college. No. And people are going back to, you know, I had a friend who was going to go to school for this thing because that's what their parents wanted them to go for. And they wanted to do something completely different that was their passion. And I said, do your passion, because you're going to be way more successful at that, because you're going to have to scrape, fight, and love what you do, which is so important.
And be good at
work, as opposed to going and doing this thing that you hate because somebody else was telling you how to live your life. And we let other people live our lives because we're too afraid to say, no, this is what I want to do, and I'm going to say to society and to my family and to my friends, I'm going to do it differently. Watch me succeed.
But you have to be okay that you're going to fail. That's the thing you have to premise that.
Well, you have to leave that out there. That's an option. You're not guaranteed success. Because
there's a lot of that positive self-help.
Oh, you're going to make it because you're fucking awesome.
And then what happens is you're a terrible anchor news person. You get fired.
You
blame it on racism and you go shoot two other anchors.
You don't even make it through school, but yet you still get hired on because
we often fail to...
diversity.
We fail to think about somebody like... we think about Steve Jobs, who is massively successful in his early 20s. But we fail to think about, you know, the people who become successful at 40. I mean,
he failed too.
Like a Thomas Edison didn't become successful until he was 40 after he failed. Now, until
he electrocuted that fucking alien or that what was it?
Aaron,
Aaron is gone.
No, he electrocuted an elephant. It wasn't an alien.
Well, that's because
I misspoke.
His success was basically
things come out of my mouth that
elephants.
I'm not trying.
Elephants.
He did. He electrocuted an elephant.
That was at the worst.
Tesla was an idiot.
Nikola Tesla.
He was getting his ass stomped by Tesla, and he's like, Tesla's a fucking bitch. Let me show you why Tesla. And he electrocutes some animals. Like, you see that?
I wish he electrocuted an alien,
too. It's the world's first rat beef.
It was AC/DC.
That would have been way better.
But my point is somebody like Edison, who became successful after 40, you know, failed over.
What about Colonel Sanders?
Colonel Sanders is a great example.
He was, 68?
Yeah, because he had just stopped selling milkshake machinery for National Food District.
Well, I think he owned like a truck stop or something, too.
He owned a gas station in southern Indiana or Kentucky or something.
It was Kentucky.
Ray Kroc.
Ray Kroc was older. I mean, you're going to fail, and you're going to come to a point in your career. You know, I've, at 31, have been there where I get to a point, and I go, listen, I'm not happy doing this anymore. I was passionate about it. I'm not passionate about it anymore. I need to find something else to do.
$6 an hour.
I can't work for libertarians for $6 an hour anymore. even though I love this, it's just not my passion anymore. I've got to go reinvent myself and do something different.
He got as a libertarian, he got crushed by libertarians because he didn't pay him even minimum wage. Yeah. That was so ironic, man. It was just like, because like he worked there and he's like, we spent all like, you know, you're like, minimum wage is like a bad law. Then like Chris is like, hey, we don't even pay you minimum wage, dude. And at that point, dude, he had this like some sort of like awakening where he's just like, man, this is kind of a bad policy in my
situation.
No,
it's not bad policy. It woke him up to the real world.
Well,
made him quit because I told him the truth. I came in like some,
it's like
powerful
Sanders,
like stoner Jesus or something, dude.
But
like,
even
hey.
Going on to the next thing, which was libertarian, it was different, but it still just was. I just didn't have the passion and the drive to do
that's,
it.
That's what you
and
should
so
do.
I found something else.
Do what makes you happy.
Right, and
now it's memes.
Yeah.
Now it's memes. I get to play on the
that's
Facebook.
That's all I do.
Now memes and black Instagram. That's your passion.
My passion is black Instagram and hitting on waitresses at the Stacked Pickle.
I want to vote right now. How many of you think that when Chris quits Bob and Tom, Brett Bittner's going to move into that slot?
Oh, wow.
Oh, man.
He's done that in your last three jobs.
I know.
Man.
Chloe and Agnos will make a great executive director.
Where's she at? Where's that girl at? That like he tells stories about me, but like I'm not here. And I expect her to be here today.
There's a reason we tell stories about you and that she's not here.
Yeah.
She's terrified of you. Chloe, who was on the last podcast, and before the podcast, I shared stories of the night before when I solo podcasted with James. And she is legit like terrified of you. She's like, do I have to accept his friend request? Is he going to... meme me? I was like, probably.
If he doesn't accept, I'll go straight to that fucking office. It's like, alpha shit, bro.
That's Brett Bittner, who you have a rap beef with and who probably won't take the call.
Yeah.
What?
Have you
at Black Acre. He's like, I heard you think I'm a dick. I'm like, I don't care. I'm here. Fucking, I'll take a drink.
It's my birthday, bro.
I'm like, what are you going to do, bro?
Did you two settle the rap beef? Have you calmed it down?
There was no rap beef.
There was
a libertarian rap beef. A couple of like open wristed slaps happened.
Yeah. No, guys. Here's a libertarian rat beef. They awkwardly looked at each other in the eye for a half a millisecond, then pointed back down to their shoes and said, so how's your day going?
No, actually, you weren't there. I was there. It was Maroods. And then he goes, Maroods. And then it was just like,
and then it was Maroods. A road battle.
And then they just like, fucking pounded it
he's
out.
Like, he's like, I'm the most libertarian. Then I whipped out my expired ID. Like, I don't even renew my license, motherfucker.
Yeah.
God. Oh, I hope the family court never gets a hold of this podcast, James.
He's like, I didn't plate my fucking Sadamo bill.
Yeah. He's like,
still got Iraqi
plates. He forced his. No. We need to cover this. Okay, before we start wrapping up, we need to cover this. He forced his grandmother to drive the Sadamo. He went in and he took over.
Why not?
He went out, in James's words, he went in and said, Grandma, I'm taking your Sebring.
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 No,
Sebring.
Sebring. He has the Sebring.
It's a Sebring.
Poor people car. It's called poor
no,
people car.
No, they're the convertibles. Right. Chrysler Sebring convertible.
He said Sebring. Is Sebring pronounced? Sebring.
They're the O10.
Is it at least a convertible?
Sebring? Yeah, usually they are.
And we go, so who's... Are you going to give it back? He's like, no. Grandma can drive the Saddam car.
Saddam car didn't have any gas, so I just hijacked that, yo.
He liberated it, technically. He liberated the Sebring.
Stole his grandmother, his elderly grandmother's car.
He took his inheritance early. That's all he did.
He's the prodigal son.
It wasn't being used, so he put it to best use.
The automobile doesn't run off diesel.
Yeah. Sometimes you just got to keep your like street cred fresh, you know. And sometimes you got to
steal your grandma's car.
Listen, bitch, give me that whip.
You know what is so funny is that actually is pretty street. Stealing your grandmother's car.
She's probably in bed, so she doesn't even know.
All she does is go pick up her medicine, right? And then babysit your daughter.
When you get back,
that James in turn steals when she returns to the house.
Hey, yo, grandma dog, did you get your oxytocin?
I took those oxys out your submarine, yo.
Is she the chick on the billboards? Have you seen the billboards?
How much Suboxone is grandma on?
You haven't seen like
she got fibromyalgia.
She's got fibromyalgia, so she needs the Suboxone.
I haven't. Is that a like a public health commercial?
Well, I'm from Morgan County, so you know right. I see.
There's a lot. You're Lord of Bucktown.
Hey, he just made the move to Fishers, though.
That's true. He's moving on up
to the northeast.
So Aaron and Tyler are from Martinsville.
What?
Known as Bucktown.
There's a section of town known as Bucktown.
Oh, Bucktown is the Broad Ripple in the exact polar opposite. Of Martinsville.
Okay. Broad Ripple is like...
It's an enclave.
It's the taint of
Southern Indiana.
Yes.
Of Morgan County.
Well, central Indiana.
So,
oh no, we're not. You're not central.
So he went from white South trash central. Central up to Fisher's, which is hoity-toity rich lady
they
center. You know, go into the Target and buy Lara bars.
Oh God,
they
in
let
their
me
yoga
in.
Pants before they do Asavaya yoga.
Beach Grove kicked me out. And Fisher's let me in. Can you believe that?
Beach Grove Walmart. Let's get lunch.
I've been there. I've been there.
Can
it's
I define
great.
What a Bucktowner is? Though?
Yeah, please. Yes.
A Bucktowner is. This is
Kathy world, Sprankles.
No, it is when your credit score is lower than your body weight is what a Bucktowner is. That is what a Bucktowner is.
It is true. It is Southern Indiana at its finest.
I'm proud to announce my FICO
you're
score is 588.
Okay,
you're 600 at the minimum.
What was the name of that show, the Ridge show, that was by the
Porter
Ridge.
Ridge.
Porter Ridge.
The boys of Porter
my
Ridge.
My brother
Road.
Knows Terry Porter.
That
Terry
was my Porter. Mom's high school classmate.
He actually okay. goes to Walmart without a shirt on.
Yeah,
no, Spencer.
I've been
that's
to
Spencer. That's not Martinsville.
I've not
that's Sweet Owen County is what that is.
Yeah,
that's
meth
the Valley.
That's
all right.
I've got a question.
Put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Add an extra $5,000 a year, and that is Martinsville.
Is a cell phone plan rare in Martinsville? Like. Cell phone plans?
No,
because
no,
you
no.
have to have credit to get a cell phone plan,
James.
So I assume it's all prepaid.
James, take your cell phone out and put it on the table, please.
What?
Yeah, let's see
well,
your
you
table.
Got Cricket?
I took a
this
picture
is,
of this,
this is my
last
work
week.
Phone,
take,
son.
Take your cell phone out and put it on the table.
It's a flip phone.
It's all right. Hey,
flip phone? Don't embarrass
NSA
me, dog.
Can't get in those.
Mr. IT, I make $9 million a year doing IT. I have a jitterbug.
That's called
jitterbug.
Fiscal responsibility. Why would I pay $800 for an iPhone when I'm on
he's
a computer all day?
He's got to
press it four times to get to the S when he's texting.
You think I won't buy? I'll come with an iPhone tomorrow, dog. I'll gold plate that son of a bitch. I will put PIMP on the back.
Listen,
and be like, bam, dude.
T9 is thug as fuck. I don't know. It's coming back. James is bringing it
T9?
Back. T9. He's bringing it back.
Smart talk. Just like our buddy Amir.
Oh, God.
Oh, shit.
All right. We got to wrap up. We got to finish up. So everybody gets a little chance to do whatever they want to do here at the end of the show. James, we'll start with you. The floor is yours.
All right, man. Like, a couple things. Like, dude, that is a phone I use to contact my, like, boss and my director of operations. And you're all hating on me because I don't have an iPhone. Well, I don't buy shit. Like, how Trump doesn't care about people that got captured, I don't care about people that died from cancer. Like, you know, it's just like,
what
I got to keep it real. I'm calling Steve Jobs out.
Aw, that's not nice. He's dead. Leave him alone.
He's not dead. He's fucking Walt Disney and that shit underneath, like, Apple Studios with, like, iMacs and a bunch of other.
He's going to make a comeback.
Like, you bought a Mac. I mean, look at that.
I got a Mac. I got an iPad. I got an iPhone.
I mean, do you even Active Directory, bro? Do you even, like, .exe? Do you even, like.
I never .exe. I don't actually do anything. I do everything in the browser. Yeah. Everything's in the browser.
Safari?
I do social media work. I do web work. I don't do what you do.
Cuz I'm the real internet.
I know. I'm not denying that. I'm totally dependent upon your internet.
Yeah, here Chris's day is probably like he comes into Bob and Tom, right? He sits down at his desk, boots up his Mac.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, God damn, the internet's not connected. What do I do? And he rings like, whatever. What is your IT guy, Larry?
Cookie.
Cookie? Okay, guy named Cookie. What's really?
That's the nickname.
It's because okay. he's tasty.
You call Cookie and be like, Cookie, man, we got four Oreo issues. And he knows what that is because you give him weird ass nicknames like
right.
that.
Right. Uh-huh.
Because he comes over, he jiggles your TCPIP settings. He's like, well.
He does that every day. Yep.
James, you're going to get so much pussy off this tech talk. I'm not going to lie.
Jiggle
I'm fucking getting wet right now.
Jiggle that TCPIP, bro, and we get you hooked up back to the network. And then what do? You drag and drop in WordPress. I know you fucking drag and drop in WordPress.
That's it. Yep.
Drag and fucking drop. Okay.
Basic HTML.
Like, he doesn't even have to do shit. He probably has. You have template. I know you have fucking template.
He uses Weebly.
This dude probably works maybe Wix. 30 minutes max the other day. He's probably the rest on Facebook or his phone or, like, Twitter.
The majority of my day is spent trying to figure out how I can take a dick joke and make it work on the internet and get a lot of shares.
Showing people
and get anyone under 40 to, like, really get engaged.
Right.
Showing people Hitler memes, dog, whatever his fucking day
That's
is.
That's personal. I've never done that to the business page.
Yeah. I mean, my role's important, and, like, Windows is an important system.
Into the mic.
You know, because without Windows, where would you be in 1998?
Oh, I would have been anywhere. I didn't get on the Mac train until a couple years ago,
bro.
When I got money. I was on.
You never had Windows 98?
Hey.
You know how fucking gangster I felt when Windows 98?
I had an ME.
I rolled into fucking school, dude. I'm like, guess what, bro? Second edition. They're like, whoa, sick, bro. Diablo 2? I'm like, god damn, bro. Diablo 2?
I was
damn
just thinking straight. About this.
There was
I DOS from
a notorious hacker that did like an IMA. And he was talking about Windows 10. I don't know if you're going to know more about this than I do, but essentially Windows 10 creates a enormous botnet for the NSA and for the federal
it
Microsoft.
It uploads everything that you...
Yeah, it allows... It's everything searchable.
It records everything.
Yeah. Well, because Cortana's a bitch. And it's like, she tells them everything. You try to type something, here's Cortana. Did you mean Jews did 9/11? I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know, Cortana.
I just was wondering if you'd read any more about that or if you...
A lot of companies, because they're doing SaaS, because I spend a lot of my time, especially on LinkedIn, like when I talk to other IT professionals.
Explain SaaS for the non-nerds.
Software as a service. A lot of companies like to do SaaS because it saves them upfront costs because you don't have to have hardware hosting.
Explain that in English for people, Greg.
So if you, with SaaS, software as a service, it's paying a monthly subscription rather than buying a $15 million software box up front or
like
package.
Like a Dropbox.
Yep. And it's great for them because then they have subscription revenue. It's great for you because you don't have to have all the upfront costs to start a business.
Think of it buying OneNote versus using Evernote.
Yeah. Well, here's the issue with it. Is when I host stuff on the server, I have complete control over my data.
Exactly.
Anything that comes in and out of that like T1 fiber optic connection is my data, my database, my applications, my users, all that stuff is there. And if the FBI came to my facility or like take my fucking server for whatever reason, I can pull those RAID discs out, toss them in a microwave, and destroy all my data, and they will have nothing. With an issue
except
with
corruption charges and obstructing justice,
but
life friends.
It's the principle of the matter.
Yeah,
like,
no, I agree.
I
am I being detained?
Yeah,
I have the ability to
destruction of evidence. The federal government frowns upon.
You know, but I have that option. Yeah. I have a nuke option. Essentially, you know,
you do.
You're not getting my like hacking data. You're not getting my financial data. I will destroy it. When it's software as a service, it's either hosted through like AWS, Microsoft Azure, any other cloud service provider. The thing is for that is like say the government wants to do like a sweeping warrant.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to warrant AWS a server. Amazon server, like the N2 dot whatever server in Arizona. The government can do a warrant. One warrant is enough to access that entire facility's data. So even if your company is innocuous and innocent, like you say, you're selling like kitten supplies, and they're doing a warrant on a guy that was doing child porn or something.
Jared Fogle.
Yeah. So they're busting Jared Fogle because they have a warrant, and they do it on the specific data farm. They have access to your files too because the warrant covers top down infrastructure. So now they're able to access and spy on you because it's legal. The judge signed off on it. You can contest it, but because it's a whole data center, they're able to view all
the
information.
And you'll probably never even know.
Yeah, you'll never know.
You have no idea.
You're probably being spied on if you use like, you know, GoDaddy or something like that. You're probably spied on daily because of inactive warrants.
Right.
And you know, I tell people, you know, like people like praise the cloud for that. I'm like, you're the most insecure you've ever been on the cloud. So Cortana and Windows 10 works off an Azure base. That's why they made it free, because they're trying to get the software to be like application packages you download off like, you know, their specific
basically
websites.
Chrome OS for Microsoft.
Yeah. So what's allowing this to happen is since like, you know, AT&T and Microsoft usually have active warrants and contracts with federal agencies, when you do it like that, because they only have to put a warrant or some sort of search like algorithm on Microsoft itself, it pulls all the data from all these companies that are going through Azure. So I always tell people, you know, if you want your data secure, you're pretty much have to post it on premise. Once you throw it on the cloud, anybody can access. Hackers, governments, Russia, China, anybody can break into that.
And it's that third party justification the Supreme Court decided. Once you are willing to give over XYZ, your personal information, to a third party, then it's no longer a violation of the Fourth Amendment.
As soon as you upload that shit to like OneDrive or Azure, you're fucked.
Keep your dank memes on your hard drive
and
your external.
You need your own servers.
I mean, you guys fucked. You're posting all that stuff that Brutus. You're getting watched.
I keep my rare Pepes locked up.
on a flash drive, man, named like do not read.
Oh no, he still uses floppy. That's how OG he is.
It just says please no share.
But it's an issue. You know, the 10 issue is because Cortana basically is, it reads your algorithms and wants to know what you're thinking and it wants to know what you're doing. And the only way you can do that is by contacting Microsoft Azure server, which has active warrants by the FBI, the NSA, the CIA.
They're in bed with the NSA.
I mean that's the thing, is that you've essentially created, I mean, that's why I was curious, is, you know, the whole trend is everybody just on one little device and then all your data is in the cloud.
Which was
And that's good for convenience. It's terrible for personal data and privacy.
Yeah, people don't realize that also if you get pulled over and you've got a thumb scanner, they can put your fucking thumb to your phone and it's completely
legal. Into the mic.
Yeah, they can't, and they should also know that anytime you get pulled over, you're not actually required to roll down the window. If you put your driver's license and your registration in a clear plastic bag, you can just press it up. So all they have to do is be able to view it.
I posted my desktop that one time in the chat group with the Ubuntu and Linux distro and me like putting in and like botnets myself. I'm like, that's what that was. I was like, okay, I'll botnet the government itself. So I created a screen where like botnets can't get in there. I run it on the Linux distro. Good luck breaking my encryption, bro. It's like 512 AES Blowfish. You know, you ain't ever getting in that. It takes 1.2 million.
Fort Knox.
Yeah, 1.2 million years to crack my database passwords. Yeah. You know why? Because I ain't about that. Like, the senator from Massachusetts, senator from Arizona wants to complain about it. He can suck my dick because he better crack it, bro, because I'm top hacks, baby. Top hacks.
And speaking of the senator from Arizona, John McCain is losing his primary challenge right now.
Seriously?
Yeah, he's down 10 points.
So I salute
time
you.
We start another war.
Yeah. All right, Tyler.
What?
What do you want? Is there anything you'd like to say to the people?
People, I love you. I appreciate you hanging in this long to this podcast. If anyone's left, what? How deep are we right now?
Oh, we're like almost. We're a minute 40 or an hour.
A minute 40?
Hour 40.
Oh, we're short. This is fine. Oh, we've done the we've done the 3 hour. Before.
We've done 3-4 hours.
Damn.
Now, how drunk are you?
Couple beers deep.
All right, you're not too.
No,
drunk.
I'm not. No, that's why I'm not been chimed in too much because I'm not hammered. Like I'm more. I get more opinionated. Yeah. Okay, all right, I'm hammered.
All right, people. All right,
that's why I'm in talking.
Yeah. Aaron, how drunk are you?
I'm not drunk at all.
Not at all.
That's too bad.
I wish I was. I think the moral of the story earlier from the shooting that Greg was trying to get across is that guns don't kill people. Black homosexual Obama supporters who are told that they are victims kill people. And he just didn't know how to simplify what he was trying to say.
Okay. Those goddamn dindos.
Not all of them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not as a generality.
Yeah.
Just this particular one did in fact kill people.
But that's what you were trying to get across.
Why does him being black have anything to do with
it? I don't know. That's just what Greg was trying to express. And I was just...
Greg's a racist.
Yeah, he is, secretly.
Great. So that means that I consider animals superior to myself and humans. There's only a human race. There's no like multiple human races.
You're right.
You don't know that for a fact.
I do. No.
Well, unless you're talking about lizard people in the Federal Reserve.
Well, listen.
Science has proved that
I've seen
no
the documents, Greg.
Yeah.
Hitler did nothing wrong. I mean,
you saw the yellow cake documents for the human races.
It was legal.
Now, you were recently
nothing wrong.
You were recently chastised. By you and your sister, you have two totally different Facebook strategies.
We do.
She tried to add me. I denied her.
She's great.
She's all positive.
She's
super
sweet. Totally positive. Uplifting Bible verses. Lots of positive memes. Stories about puppies finding homes after they've been abused. Just beautiful.
But very susceptible to the passions and the non-principled things.
Right. Now, and then you go to Greg's page, and it's...
I'm going to challenge you.
National Dog Day, and he put up a Chinese restaurant.
A box of Chinese takeout.
Oh.
Did you put the one up with the little kid?
No, eat the dog. No. Oh, okay.
No, I didn't put that one up. That one wasn't that funny to me, yeah.
I thought it was
that's
hilarious.
That's old stale meme.
Yeah, I thought it was funny like 4 years ago.
We need fresh and creative memes in here.
Well, listen.
Tyler's good at that.
I'm the king of fresh and creative. Don't act like I'm not.
What happened to the...
He's the Jared Fogel of Eat Fresh Memes.
Oh, wow.
Okay, dude. I like my memes fresh.
Yeah.
Where's the group that... Remember we had the Libertarian meme group where you had, like, the Jeremiah with, like, the... I mean, those were the freshest memes ever, dude. This is, like, MS Paint and shit, dude.
It was LPIN memes.
Oh, I still am an admin, I think, on that.
Yeah.
And I have no affiliation in any way, shape, or form.
Gregory.
I was going to talk about a little bit just politics, because campaign season and everything's coming up. Joe Biden had all of the top flight donors come and meet him at the Naval Observatory on Tuesday, and he has now outpolled Hillary, too, in two national matchups against Trump. He's going to throw his name in the ring. Yep. So I think it is literally panic time. And a poll was done over the weekend on whether or not it was Pew, whether or not Hillary Clinton should suspend her campaign with the investigation into the emails in Benghazi.
But it's her turn.
49% of Americans, nonpartisan,
nobody
said yes.
Wants her.
No, but I'm saying that's shocking because when 50% are polled as Democrats, that 49% would support it means realistically probably 20 to 30% of Democrats and realistically probably 60% who actually vote want her to suspend her campaign. Pull a John McCain.
I wonder.
They really can't win.
I wonder if a lot of it has to do with the fact that Americans, A, are just tired of Clinton scandals and don't want the distraction. They want actual issues being discussed in this campaign, and it feels like it's going to be a fresh campaign with all these new Republicans, and then you've got, you know, the Democrats. I mean, Joe Biden, at least, who, you know, they're the incumbents. The Democrats are the incumbents. So, but I wonder if Americans are just not looking forward to a campaign season of nothing but Benghazi.
No, emails. She's transparent as shit. When that guy interviewed her about the servers, and he's like, so the allegations are you wiped your servers, and she's like, with a rag. I'm like, you're a high
Secretary of State
that deals with CIA,
former
FBI.
You're giving us a first grade answer.
Literally decide what's classified and what isn't.
Yeah. Right, and she had it on her iPhone.
Yeah, like, you deal with agencies that have data centers that you probably turd on several occasions. The secretary probably turds the data. She knows what a server is. And for her to say...
She doesn't. Her staff
does.
She's got
her own private one set up.
She was present when Windows came out. She knows what this is. And when she says stuff like when the news reporter just wants an honest answer out of her, did you intentionally wipe the servers?
She's a victim.
She's like, wipe like what? With a ShamWow? It's like...
She plays the victim card.
It's like, that is not only so transparent that you're deflecting that, like, that's an insult to anybody with even like a 40 digit IQ, because even a person with special needs knows what a server is.
To me, it's you're guilty of some crime, or why would you be denying it?
You just don't want
to
talk about it.
That turns people off, because like now they know, like, when hearing the stuff she's been saying lately is so transparent, so fake, that it's an obvious deflection. Because usually in a politician, you want to deflect a way that makes it kind of like, you know, vague, like maybe he doesn't know. But the way she's been deflecting is basically just saying like, I know I'm guilty of it. You know I'm guilty of it.
But who
I'm just
can
not
going to
say it on air that I'm guilty
Catch
of
me.
It.
Catch me if you can.
Right.
It would be like that Nixon moment where he was being interviewed by David Frost, and you know the point is, did you do something illegal? And he screams, I'm saying if the president does it, it isn't illegal.
Yeah.
That's the way she feels. Yeah. And she feels
entitled
to the president. Well, yeah.
She's the fucking problem.
Her biggest political
about
qualification is she married Bill.
Ago.
That is it. She has no major legislation or track record as Secretary of State is terrible. Yeah.
She has no ground to stand on.
She voted for the war in Iraq. She's never proposed a domestic facing bill. She's terrible, and she doesn't know how to even be herself. That's what's getting her
killed.
Go
look at her Wikipedia page of her time in the Senate. It's blank.
She's
riding the non-binding resolution to support that America loves education and funding.
Right.
She's riding the biggest Republican. So yeah. She's riding Bill's coattails and trying to get the qualification because she's a woman.
She always has. I mean, the only time she ever spearheaded a piece of legislation, it was in Bill's administration when they'd just been elected. She was in charge of trying to push through healthcare reform against Newt. And she bungled it completely and looked like an idiot, and then had to do a long period of time where she was out of the public eye before she was brought back.
What about Chelsea Clinton's, you know, real dad? Bill's not her real dad.
That's a hell of an allegation.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
I've seen the documents.
I don't think anybody's going to take this program seriously.
Let's face
it. Why not?
She's with Bill because Bill's electable. Bill's got that sort of...
Well,
he's
a Southern
got the
Democrat.
Swag.
Yeah. He's a Southern Democrat and he's charismatic smart. Like,
she's been with him through multiple affairs, multiple issues.
Because she knows she can't do shit without him.
As a strong woman that she says she is, she would have divorced his ass like 20, 30 years ago.
No, it's a political couple.
But, you know, it's like they're probably not fucking anymore, you know what I mean? I mean, that's why Chelsea's not...
Who gives a fuck if they're fucking or not? She's a terrible leader.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit what they do in their personal relationships.
If you ain't fucking, you ain't worth shit, dude. It's like,
maybe she's banging Newt. I don't fucking know.
No, nobody's
banging Newt.
No.
Why not?
Well,
banging that banker. Did you see that robot that he's with?
I don't know.
Well, that's the surgeon that he left his cancerous wife with, that was her oncologist, on her deathbed while he was talking about family values.
Yeah. How many listeners we got on this podcast?
About 4,000.
All right, 4,000 people? Go to Chelsea Clinton's page. Ask her who her real dad is. Like, let's do this. Everybody, go ask her who her real dad is.
Let's 4chan this.
Make her do a paternity test, because I guarantee it's not Bill.
4chan raid.
All right, Greg. Anything else?
There was. What was the last thing?
Black Lives Matter?
No, it wasn't that.
Oh. Mittens looks so disappointed in us.
Yeah. Mittens knows.
Mitten looks so disappointed.
Oh, it was. It was Jeb. I actually, for the first time ever, like, this is the first, you know, you see things once and then, hope, you know, you can tell whether or not you're going to see them again. But it's that Jeb's considering withdrawing.
I really
read that tonight. Yeah.
That field is, like, dropping like flies, man.
Well, Ted Cruz is the one that's, like, standing out, like, staying around. And he, I don't know why, honestly, because he's never on the news. He has no original positions. He is the biggest, like, thing he's put his neck out there for was that he backs Trump. Like, he was the first one to back the Donald and say he's not an idiot.
I bet you it's Glenn Beck money.
What about iCarly? Is iCarly staying in?
Carly's starting to actually have some issues.
What about Kucinich or whatever?
No, John Kasich is the one that's going to get all Jeb's money.
How amazing is it that by Donald Trump being in the race for a period of 4 to 6 months, he will completely...
He's wrecked the Republican Party.
He's a vampire. He has ruined. This was going to be their time.
But he doesn't need any of their money, so he hasn't done that. He doesn't need any of their airtime or their blessing because he's attacked probably the most popular, irresponsibly so, anchor on Fox News.
Yeah. Right. Where they fucked up is they gave him airtime, and they made him into.
Because at the end of the day, they want dollars, and they want eyeballs.
Sells advertising dollars, and that. Listen, if a Democrat wins, their fucking ratings go through the roof.
Right.
Because Glenn Beck went off the deep end when the president got elected and he started doing hour-long specials on socialism of it.
Who doesn't?
Well, a lot. I mean,
they make a shit ton of money. Don't act like they don't.
Well, I mean, now that market's changed because, like, you can't be as crazy as you used to be clearly in radio, or else you, like, Rush Limbaugh. He's losing markets Limbaugh's and affiliates. Done. But I mean, so are other.
But
like,
he made $400 million.
Well, that's that contract ends in 2 years.
Yeah,
he ain't gonna get that much again.
No, but he still.
I mean, he's rich.
How much do you fucking need?
No, but I'm saying that all it's a sign of is that demand for that message is dwindling.
What I'm saying is, though, they don't give a shit who actually wins.
I'm Chris Cantwell. Give me your money.
Money.
I think that
they would love to push. They would love to push their agenda, but if there's someone like Trump who is just.
Trump's the biggest blessing to the political news season there's ever. I mean, because if it's not Trump, then right now you're looking at Jeb Bush, you're looking at Chris Christie.
And what were we talking about?
Yeah,
absolutely nothing. We got some old white guys.
Right, and so that, you know, that it's a deal with the devil. They are loving it because now all of a sudden Trump gets 24 million viewers on a political debate where it's not even a debate, it's a one-on-one round robin.
It's him come over here and pet my hair. You know, I mean, like, what the fuck? He's selling out 30,000 seat stadiums to bet his air.
But you know what? When you go to bet, you know.
Like, what the fuck? And that's politics? You're going to elect this guy? Because he's got fucking real hair?
But they made their bet. Their bet is that we need eyeballs. We're gonna.
I know.
Really,
I'm not.
You know, they played the game, and now they hate it when the guy that is the game is the candidate.
Yeah.
That's when scary. You elect crazy.
When you need to do bigger and bigger things and more sensationalism to get eyeballs.
It's your own
and
goddamn fault.
It makes you nervous that the master of that is the candidate of the Republican
Party.
Pretty
much what it was like, okay, I'm going to let this guy into the group because, you know what, he's hilarious. And then all of a sudden, he just takes the fuck over. And
it's not funny anymore.
No, hell no,
Now he's Teflon. Like, the Frank Luntz just did a poll last week, and the polling data showed Donald Trump is a stream of videos of viewers doing the little where you turn the dial. And it was people watching Donald Trump make several positions over the course of the last 15 years publicly, you know, declaring love for the Clintons, declaring love for all the Chuck Schumer, and it was all Republicans, and all of them didn't matter. And they actually increased support by 2% for him. So now it's not funny because now it's people are irrational. They just want revenge.
Yeah.
They just want somebody that taps into that anger.
They hate the establishment. He's the, unfortunately. He's the anti-establishment.
Anti-establishment who pays.
So, you know, this guy is going hardcore against, you know, immigrants. And Ted Cruz is like, yeah, I want to say that stuff. But if I do.
I'm deported.
I'm going to win the... No,
he's such a parallel, dude.
Like, I could go just hard as Trump, and I can go against all these immigrants just like he is. Let's build a fence, all this stuff. I'm going to win the GOP primary, but I'm going to lose the general election.
It's the benefit of being rich, dude, because like these other people, like they say that, they might not get elected because Democrats in their home state be like, Ted Cruz, you racist fuck, and like you're out. Yeah. But Donald Trump is like, I can lose the son of a bitch. I'm still making $1 million.
He's,
you know?
he doesn't give a shit.
I like the fact he makes the establishment cringe. Yeah. I don't agree with
but that's that. That vindictive streak that is...
I don't know who he votes for. It's Does anybody know? It's wherever his money's at.
Well, that's the thing, though. Can you call someone a political candidate and you support somebody when it's not you have any desire to support them or their policies? You just like how mad he makes everybody else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
That's not so much support.
No, but we have a long history of that in America with Huey Long, with...
populists.
I mean, he's just... Yeah. He is the Mole Boost Party.
And that's dangerous, though, because he's also smart.
Yeah.
Whereas a lot of these guys were, they were street smart, but not the number one, the valedictorian of the Wharton School of Finance and graduated first in their class.
Yeah, if you
and
don't built think he
a multi-billion dollar company twice.
Yeah.
So if anyone thinks he's dumb, behind the scenes, I can assure you he tapped into the most powerful strain of American politics no one wanted to touch, did it, doesn't apologize for it, and gets called a blatant liar to his face and in front of Republican voters, and it makes him like him more.
I mean, he's got a persona. Like, the people that call him out for that shit, like, oh, he's just, look at the shit he said. That's his persona. That's how he needs to market
don't literally care because it's, well, look, I just saw him get all the Democrats riled up.
Because he smells authentic.
Because you know what? You do have to change your mind. Like, they're justifying him.
Yeah.
Which is
hilarious
good.
To the Republican Party because, like, oh, well, somebody'd flip on an issue, he flipped. He's not for this anymore.
But no, flipping's always been the Republican candidate. It's just, you know, it's how bad did they flip on what issues and what can the, you know, can the general election, general electorate, like, stomach a Mitt Romney or a, you know, who was the other one they were talking? McCain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can't stomach, the moderate doesn't get people the base excited enough to show up on election day. They end up losing regardless of how many moderates they get.
Exactly.
The problem is Donald Trump gets moderates because he's got name recognition. He gets Democrats because he's populist. And he gets Republicans fired up because he's pissing off the Democrats.
Right.
He also gets Democratic business people, too.
That is a ton of his support. He takes the Democrat position of protect America, the protectionism, which is what Bob Dole had, but he couldn't sell it. Mm. Donald can sell it.
Fuck yeah.
Do you think he'll get, like, Ron Paul? Like, you know, like in the Maine and Connecticut and the states where, like, you won the districts, but we're going to say you didn't. You know
I'm
going
to be interested to see how the Republican Party handles this because there isn't a clear rival. The first person that is a credible, clear rival in the press, and
they're going to support him.
That's going to be it. And they will be, he'll be the counter hero or the, you know, the savior. The only one taking shots is Rand Paul, and he has written time and time again. I don't know if you read his Breitbart op-ed yesterday. It vilified Donald Trump because he says the guy doesn't believe in proper private property if you look at his use of eminent domain.
Yeah.
And so how can you call somebody who doesn't even believe in private property?
Yeah, he's not a Republican.
No.
But what does a Republican mean?
He's in,
what does a Republican mean?
Define it. Nobody fucking knows.
And that's why he attacked him for conservative.
Right.
And that's going to be – he isn't afraid – and the thing is, Rand doesn't have any likability that like Ron does. So his only way he can win is if he's standing there as the white knight, and the only one, the little kid that's taking down the guy that's wreaking havoc, and yet he's the anti-establishment guy no one in the Republican Party trusts.
Yeah. Right.
Well, but everyone else has no sack.
That's what scares me is that people just drive by people, or it's Hillary or it's Trump, and then they're just like, "Well, fuck Hillary, I'm going with Trump."
You think Mind Fuhrer will come back and lead us this nation astray and keep us in check?
I don't think anyone's going to lead us, honestly.
Nobody can lead us.
I would vote for nobody. If we could just take 4 years off and just
the only
time out. Just take a time out.
But the only interesting debate in the United States to actually watch would be a policy discussion between Rand Paul and Bernie Sanders.
Yeah.
If you actually care about policy and like plans forward and the great debate of... You know, do we need to be in control of it because there are too many corporate interests that hold the power?
No, it's just...
Or do we need to decentralize the power through the reduction of government?
People aren't in control of it, Greg.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying, though. Damn it, Greg. That's a valid opinion you can have, assuming there are these mystical creatures that know how to do government well.
Assuming that the government is great.
But the government's just people. And so you find competent...
No, they're the best people.
Idealistic people that can do
They care about us.
James Neese is someone that looks at it from that perspective, and James is competent. James wants no part of being in the bureaucracy because it would drive him insane.
I like to kill bureaucracy only because... Yeah,
exactly.
Only because, like, it's just like the group, man. Like, if you give me just an ounce of power, I will execute all my rivals, and I will gulag.
Cuck them out.
I will gulag.
Change your name publicly to Brutalist Overlord James Neese.
Listen, that's the greatest name ever. That is a smart Stalin-like power play. I got made admin. What happened? All these report facts got to go.
Man, it's the greatest thing. Was.
Thanks right. a lot, Jonathan. But yeah,
we got to wrap up.
Yeah, sorry. I apologize for going on. But if you're one of these people that is just please don't support Hillary. I don't care if you support Bernie and you support Bernie because you're not because you want free stuff because anyone can do that, but because you think that like corporate cronyism is so powerful and entrenched that only Bernie can stop it.
No, the government.
In an 8-year term, hopefully. Then if that's your position, I respect it. But if you're the other way, it better be whoever the Libertarians nominate, or it better be, you know, Rand, you just praying to God he doesn't become a real scumbag Republican.
Yeah.
And
neocon
lies. Yeah, those are the only two real distinct choices in this entire debate. There's a troll. There's Bill Clinton's wife.
I love it. There's
And then there's Bernie Sanders, who is a true believer, but he's just got a crazy idealistic belief. And then there's Rand Paul, who you pray to God's like his dad and not going to be Jeb.
Yeah.
And those are the only choices out there.
Yep. All right, kids. Thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. For my piece, I just want to say thank you for listening to We Are Libertarians. Share this if you can, maybe with your grandmother, with your church group. That'd be great.
Steal grandma's
check out Chelsea Clinton's dad, real dad.
Hashtag Bill ain't the dad.
Hashtag we're the new birthers.
We're the paternalers.
New paternal.
We're the paternalers.
I need to see that birth certificate.
Slick Willie.
Thank you for supporting us. We're going to do a little more writing at WeAreLibertarians.com. If you like what we do here, please send us a donation via PayPal. Hit up WeAreLibertarians.com. Aaron?
Bill got cucked.
I wasn't asking for donation. You looked like you wanted to say something.
No, he was about to donate this entire month's worth of weed.
Donate for a paternity test for Chelsea's real dad. I'm serious about it. I want people to do this.
If we can just...
We're going to start a GoFundMe for that.
We're going to raise more than 30 bucks.
Tell your audience we're also cucking for Julie on...
No, we're not doing that.
All right, thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. Love you guys. Be nice to each other. Don't listen to anything James Neese says. And as always, we promise
to do better next time.
Do better next time. We love y'all.